News for Gamers, Internet's Now radio program proudly presents...
The M4G Podcast!
Every week you're tuning in, listening to us ramble on about the latest in gaming news. And without further ado, let us introduce you to Zero Tolerance, Gambit's Con. Give Pepper Wombat to a special guest or two if we are nice enough to let them on our podcast, the N4G Podcast.
Yeah, that's cool. Jesus,
we should have a cluck off.
That's terrible. Hey, man, shut the cluck up.
All right, welcome to another News for Gamers podcast for the week of April 14th, 2008.
Woohoo!
We have a great show for you this week, as always. Once again, in the studio with us, we have Gambus Khan.
What's up?
We also have Killer Wolverine.
Yo.
We also have the Wombat 2.
What's up?
Electric Boogaloo. So we
How
are here.
How y'all living?
Lodge. So it's time to get on with some N4G podcast radio. We don't have a whole lot of news, but we have some new features this
time
week.
Time to get down on some News for Gamers podcast.
Time to get down on it. Get down on it. There you go. We're going to start off with the normal segment of fondling your console. And just to be crazy, just to be wild, and I've gone wild. This is Gamers Gone Wild. We're going to start with Killer Wolverine.
Take your shirt off. I'm leaving.
Now. Give me some beads. Right. Start with Killer Wolverine. What's been fondling your console?
Not much. 360's gone for now, so I'm stuck.
Where'd it go?
To Texas.
Did it go to 360 heaven?
Not yet. It went to, you know, get some surgery to prevent it from going to 360 heaven or hell. So, been stuck with my PS3 playing.
Oh, wow.
Been stuck with my PS3.
Okay, I didn't mean it that way.
I know you didn't. But I just like to give you shit. Well,
you lie.
I do. Uncharted, almost beaten that. Tried Heavenly Sword, not liking it, sending it back to Gamefly.
You don't like it?
No.
Well, you keep playing for another hour, it'll be over.
I don't think I could stand it for another hour.
Oh, you thought my comment was bad.
That's going on the back of the box.
You just got You're the Man
Killer
now.
Killer Wolverine from News for Gamers says, I don't think I could stand it for another hour. No, I didn't mind Heavenly Sword.
I liked Heavenly Sword.
I thought it was
pretty
decent.
Short,
it was
but
very
I liked
short.
It.
I don't like it. I can't change the camera. No thanks. I don't know. Whatever. What else?
You can't change the camera in God of War either.
Well, God of War has a good camera.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Wow.
So, yeah, we'll move on from that.
We'll move on.
Yeah. What is that one game? You know, Unreal. Play a little bit of Unreal online.
What's that one game, Unreal? You know,
play that a little game. That we need to play more of that.
Yeah, we do.
That's rather fun.
We did manage to get the voice change to another button.
Yes, you can move it to the left
L2,
trigger.
I switched it to L2, and you know what? I still think it's ridiculous that you have to push to talk.
Yeah, but it makes it easier to, as opposed
it makes it easier to push to talk now that you have the L2, but I'll still find myself, like, saying something and then going, oh, wait, you couldn't hear me.
But we found a way in Warhawk. Because we played Warhawk.
Well, yeah, Warhawk, you can do it. You can switch on the voice always, mm-hmm. so you don't have to press a button.
I still don't actually have the headset yet for my PS3.
Yeah.
Maybe I should probably get one of those.
Yes. Because sooner or later.
Probably do that.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be as much fun playing Unreal or Warhawk if I can't talk.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, did you... I know I had some voice lag. Like, I would say something and 3 seconds later it would hit you.
I'll tell you what, though. The voice chat or the video chat?
Yeah,
that works really well.
Does it?
Like Killer Wolverine gave me the Eye of Judgment, and I plugged in the camera while we were in the chat room, and it automatically popped me up on the screen, and like it's so much better than the Vision camera.
Really?
It works really well. So
it doesn't have all the like effects, does it? Did you play around with
the lighting?
There are
some
lighting?
Effects like in the toolbar at the bottom, but those are kind of dumb on the 360, except for like the black and white one.
Yeah,
that one's
the negative
neat,
or whatever.
Yeah. That one's kind of neat on the 360, but the camera is so much better. Like, you don't have to focus it at all. It auto-focuses.
Oh.
Unlike nice. The Vision camera that you have to sit there and focus.
Yeah, twist the little
On the eye, on the PSI, all you have is, like, the widescreen lens and the regular screen lens. So you just switch between the two, and it focuses itself, and it's so much better than the Vision camera.
And it has a microphone. And
has a microphone built into it, which you can use for voice chat in games.
Once they start rolling out some more stuff that I can use it for. Maybe I'll get it since I'll just use it as my microphone.
Yeah, you could pick up. Does it pick up very well?
Yeah, we were playing with Sylvanos and Warhawk, and he said it works great in Warhawk. I didn't test it out, but he said it works great in Warhawk.
Maybe
and
I'll invest in that instead.
The cameras, there's a lot of games on the PlayStation Store that support the eye.
A lot of games.
But...
I know.
I'm not talking that kind of support.
I want them to bring back iToy where I can bounce a ball around.
I want more games like Vegas that let you put your face on your
Can't you do that
character.
In the show?
Not this year, I don't
really?
Think. Not in the
that
PS3
sucks.
Version. Yeah, at least I haven't seen an option yet for it. So maybe it's just because I don't have a camera, but...
I don't know.
You
can
in the PS2 version, or you could at least a couple years ago. But,
See, I think that would be the ultimate, like, if you're a sports fan, to plaster your face into, your favorite sports game.
It worked great in the show the first year they brought it out. It worked great. So... And actually, I mean, it didn't work bad in Vegas last year.
No, it worked. It works a lot better this year, from what I hear. I still haven't plastered my face in it yet. I need to do that.
I haven't either. I don't even know where my camera is.
Do you really?
You get an achievement for putting your face in Vegas.
Yeah. Nice.
Like
that's great for
more like yourself.
True that. True that. But continue on.
Well, I don't know. I was just going to add, did you have the lag between you saying something and hitting me?
Yeah, I can't hear it when it hits you, so how would I know if I have lag?
Oh, I don't know.
You know what? I still think the...
That's a good point.
I still think the worst example of lag in a multiplayer game of all time was Worms 3D.
Oh yeah,
because we'd be playing it and it's, you know, it's turn based, and it'd be me and Zero playing it, and we'd be able, the lag was so bad that we would be able to tell the other person whether or not what we just shot had hit before it would show on their screen.
Yeah,
so like if he shot a bazooka on my screen, he'd be like, oh, I missed you, and then like 2 seconds later when it would go past my head.
What was even better is like when we were playing and one of us would just start laughing our ass off and the other one's like, what are you laughing? Oh, there it is.
Yeah. That was an awesome game, but the lag was just
terrible.
But it wasn't voice lag. It was the actual game that was
lagging. I just want to know if it's me.
I don't even recognize it. I mean, you guys were chatting away. We were playing. I mean, we just toyed around with it. We didn't play like a real game. We need to play a real game.
Well, if it's voice lag, if it's not just me, it's not. Why have a headset if it's going to have voice lag?
Oh, shut up.
You shut up.
You whine about everything.
Well, I'm just curious. Like, you know, everyone's
It's
saying,
probably you because you got a hamster running on a wheel running.
I don't have a hamster running on the wheel. We never had problems playing 360.
Oh,
It's a gerbil, you bastard.
See, I don't have any. The voice lag, I don't notice it. I mean, I hear whatever.
Well, I'll
get
more people on and see.
Yet,
so. But other than that, I just played through the demo of the show because I don't. I will get it once, you know, Heavenly Sword's
so
back
good.
In the mail.
So good.
So, I'll be playing that. So, yeah, not much this week. I missed my 360. Come home safe. Miss you.
Like it's listening to the
miss
show.
You, baby.
Hey, you got to give it support because it's going through some major surgery.
It can't hear. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
They're taking it back and giving you a refurbished one. That's all they're doing.
Huh? Uh-uh.
Yeah.
I want my system back.
You're not getting your system back.
Nope. You're getting John Williams from Clarksville, Tennessee's system back.
Well, I thought you were talking about the guy that scored
Star
Wars.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they just send you a different system back. They don't give you yours.
That's bullshit.
You didn't send your hard drive back with
you,
did
you? No.
Why do
I
you
keep
care?
My hard drive? Because I want my system.
Why?
I want them to fix my system so I get my system back and not get some other jackass's guy system and, you know, fixed.
Actually, what they do is when they get them all into the warehouse, they just play musical chairs and ship them back out to different people.
There's somebody.
I wouldn't be surprised. What
there's
the
actually
fuck?
one of the job titles there is director of Duck Duck Goose. And that's how they figure out how they're going to send your 360 back.
They just switch the shipping labels around. They're like, here you go.
That's
here you go.
Lovely.
It's like the shell game. Like you see the homeless people playing on the streets.
So they honestly don't send you yours back.
No. You get our system back.
How did I not know?
I got my system back.
They can't even.
How you know it was yours?
The same serial number.
Hmm.
Unless the insides are completely different.
That's a possibility.
The innards.
Yeah. The innards.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me because you take out the components that don't work. Boop. With
I noticed that when I got it back, it was a lot quieter.
Was it? Maybe mine will be.
I have dreams about quiet Xbox 360s.
Do you? I turn on the PS3. It's nice. Like, no offense, my 360. But turn on the PS3.
Why do you have to? Do you feel the need to apologize to your 360?
It's a system, I feel the need because it's been with me for how many years now?
It's an inanimate.
I don't care how long it's been.
It's an inanimate object.
I don't care if it is. I miss it, but I'm just saying it's much nicer with the PS3. I'll turn it on.
This is why you're
360. But
what?
I can talk to it.
I don't fucking talk to it until now.
You just did
until now.
Anyway,
showed my gratitude towards it.
Okay, that's nice.
Fuck you.
What are you still playing?
That's about it.
What are you gonna look forward to playing?
Why you gotta?
Because that's what
playing.
We do. That's how the fondling works.
That's a little section called "What's Fondling Your Console." We usually talk about the games that we're playing.
Why are you gonna ask me this shit?
Usually the first half hour of the show.
Because I don't want anything new on my PS3 because I play it on my 360. So, unless it's specific consoles.
You're not looking forward to playing the show, which you just said was coming
I away? Said that already.
But I'm asking you what you're looking forward to playing.
I already said the show. And Grand Theft Auto, but that's...
Do you see how he rolls? I don't know. GambusCon, tell me what you've been playing. Tell me.
This week, I played some more Viking.
Liking that. Asgard. It's very manly. Mm-hmm.
It's
Viking.
Forsooth.
No, that's two worlds.
Oh, yeah.
You made me bring it up again. I was trying to avoid it. Go ahead.
Kane and Lynch.
I'm all...
We derailed...
His thought process.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr.
Instead
Scott.
Of getting Rick Rolls, you just got two worlds.
I think it's cool how when you're walking around in Viking, how he'll slow down if he senses
an enemy
presence.
But you ever notice, like, sometimes when you're walking around, he starts doing that, and there's nobody around?
Right.
Yeah. Did you ever look up top, maybe?
Up top of where? I'm in
a
flat
cliff.
Plane.
There's cliffs everywhere. If you look up, there's on
there's
the
a cliff on the beach out in the middle where I'm walking around.
That happens.
He started
all
doing
the time.
It. He's like, what are you looking at? He's creeping.
It's pretty.
No,
cool
I love that he does that. Yeah. I do.
It's very awesome.
The graphics are freaking amazing, man.
The Vikings going to become the new Two Worlds.
Pretty much, We're like the only people in the world that really, really love it.
Yeah, I like the colors. The colors that the game implements.
Yeah.
It's got a very...
it's got a lot of red.
Yeah.
I love...
A lot of red.
I saw some people knocking the comic book style cutscenes, like at the beginning and in the middle.
Dude,
I thought they were awesome.
They remind me of like 300.
Yeah, that's the
movie
300. So I thought they were great.
You should download The Making of Viking on Marketplace. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, they got
it's like a 10-minute video of the making of Viking. It's actually pretty cool.
I'm going to have to download it. Have you seen the video Too Human, the developer diary number 3?
I haven't seen number 3
yet.
Dude, you need to watch it.
I'll have to download it this week.
Because it's not just about the game. The last part of it, like the last 5 minutes, something else entirely, and I'm just like, whoa. Is this viral marketing or is this like an actual video? I'm not going to say what it is, but it's freaking weird.
You know what's hilarious about Two Worlds to me, or Two Human? I'm sorry.
God.
Oh God.
The funniest thing about Two Human to me is this is the game that literally comes into people's radar, goes away. Comes back into people's radar, goes away.
Right.
It's never coming out.
Oh, it's coming.
It's fake.
It's coming.
It's not a real game.
It's an April Fool's joke. They just carried on way too long.
It's an April Fool's joke for next year.
Jeez. When is this game coming out? There was supposed to be a demo in February.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't happen.
All I know is that the last gameplay video I saw of it looked awesome.
It looks friggin' awesome. I'm sorry, but you know what? Stop making me wait for this game this
long. I'm hoping that it's at least playable at E3.
God. Bless America.
Yeah. The other game I played, I hope I don't get burned at the stake for this, but it was a cheap game. It cost me $15. So
Jumper?
No.
Oh.
A little bit better than that. Dead or Alive Extreme 2.
You really bought that?
Yeah. It was
wow.
$15.
You know, that's a really terrible game.
That's probably $15 too much to pay for fake boobs and swimsuits.
And volleyball that's very boring.
I mean, you can...
I kind of like the jet ski, but it's no.
It ain't
wave
no
race.
Wave race.
Yeah.
All you got to do is watch the WB for 10 minutes if you want fake boobs and swimsuits.
Yeah. But
welcome to the WB.
But yeah, I played a little bit of that, and yeah, I know. But
Did you hide it from your gamer card? Because yeah. I didn't see it. He's embarrassed by it.
I'm embarrassed. I'm like, no.
I will tell you
created
what.
Created an entirely different gamer profile just
You know what? It doesn't matter because you will never get any of the achievements in that game.
Yeah, I know.
Are they impossible?
Impossible.
But,
So it's a shitty game with impossible achievements. Let me run out and go buy it right now.
Yeah, the thing is, I haven't really played that many games this week because I got a new a musical instrument. I got my Alesis Micron synthesizer.
It sounds like something out of Star Trek.
Yeah, the Alesis Micron synthesizer.
Sounds like something you could pion noobs with.
Set keyboard to stun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been screwing around with it, doing like DJing and crap. You know, I'm thinking about starting my own service. You know, like
there you go.
I'd be like the DJ Gambus Con. You know,
you gonna bust some rhymes with it too?
You could do bar mitzvahs and parties.
Yes, I do weddings and funerals.
Really?
Yeah,
funerals, huh?
Oh yeah, and I guarantee that if I play at a funeral, it'll be all upbeat music. So it'll be all happy and everything. And if I do a wedding, I guarantee that once the bride and the groom say, I do.
They'll get divorced.
I'll play this tune.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how high tech we are.
You know what? You will only get hired once.
Yeah.
What's that?
You will only get hired once.
Yeah. Once will be enough. But the last game that I've played, I've only played three games this week. I played four. I played the demo for Ikaruga, but I don't want to talk about that because it's fantastic. It's great. It's fun. You should buy it.
And I will, as soon as I have money.
I haven't bought it yet, so that's the reason why I'm not talking about it. I will talk about it when I get the full version, but it's pretty sweet. Go out there and buy it. If you like shooters, it's a great game. But the last game I played was, I actually played a multiplayer game. A multiplayer first-person shooter game. Call of Duty 4.
Nice.
Did you play online?
Yeah, I played online. Zero Function messaged me.
Nice.
Did
you own some noobs?
I was the noob.
Nice.
Yes. Did you get pwned?
I got pwned. I got completely, utterly destroyed. I got vaporized.
Nice.
Did you level up at all?
Yeah. I think I'm like a level 3 or 4. Played for like a half hour or so. It's pretty sweet. Gotta give a shout out to Zero Function. A guy named Hopeless Kenny. And
I played with him before.
Yeah, and another dude named Jack Straw who joined in right like at the last game. But it was pretty cool, man. It's very fast. I mean, it's freaking you respawn and someone kills you. And
yeah.
All these campers. And there was some French people that I overheard that were speaking French. It was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool because Zero Function, he was, you know, leading me by the hand because I was a noob. You know, he was telling me.
He's good like that.
He was, like, explaining the parallels between Call of Duty and Final Fantasy.
Nice.
And he was like, yeah, this is a little bit like Final Fantasy, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of see the parallels, you know. And then when an airstrike happens, he's like, I summon thy airstrike. And nice. We were all laughing. It was great. Yeah.
It is really fun online. It's addictive.
Yeah, I got killed so many times. I don't think I've ever played a game where I got killed so swiftly, so quickly.
You gotta constantly be on the move in that game.
So wait, let's make another RPG parallel.
Uh-oh.
Zero Function was like your bearded village elder that led you to the Tree of Wisdom.
Yeah.
And showed you the Sword of Destiny.
Indeed.
Yes, he was like the old wise man who knows everything.
Who told you that the journey would be dangerous,
yeah,
fraught with peril.
He was like Obi-Wan Kenobi and Gandalf.
All like, rolled up into one package.
Yes.
And like the old guy that gives you the sword from Zelda.
Yeah.
The old guy.
He doesn't even have a name.
Right.
But if you stab him enough, he just shoots fireballs at
you.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet, man.
You stabbed me enough, I'd shoot fireballs at you too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's my sword? I want to see you shoot fireballs. That's all there is to
be
it.
Awesome.
Yeah, but that involves the stabbing, which I'm not so much excited to be a part of.
Yeah, that'd be
painful.
It'd be against the law.
Yeah.
But
the fireball shooting or the stabbing or both?
Probably both.
Probably both. I don't know what Ohio's laws on fireball shooting are. I'll have to look those up.
It's probably listed somewhere under arson. But
Statute 101, fireball shooting. If you are shooting fireballs, we will leave you the fuck alone because you are shooting fireballs.
Yeah. We will call in somebody else. We ain't dealing with this.
If you're shooting fire from your eyes, we will go even further than if you're shooting fireballs from your hands.
Hadouken.
Yeah.
So does that wrap up this week's fondling?
Yes.
So what are you looking forward to this week?
Probably more of the same. I really want to get into Viking. I really want to at least beat the first island and then try to conquer the second one.
Conquer.
And then eventually take and destroy the third one with my army of minions.
Yes.
Nice.
And in the slight distant future fondling, GTA 4, I'm looking forward to Grand Theft Auto. I think it's pretty cool. I like the main character. I think he's going to be a pretty cool main character because in the other GTAs, you're like this punk who, you know, he obviously wants to do bad like pretty much almost every turn. Well, this guy, he seems like he's kind of a conflicting main character, so I think it's going to make the game a little bit more interesting. And it seems like it's got a little bit of underhanded humor, which the GTAs have always had. And this will actually be the first GTA that I actually buy. So I'm looking forward to it. So
it says a lot. It says how many copies this game is going to sell when it launches.
Yeah.
April 29th.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
It'll be crazy. It'll
give you 2 days to play Mario Kart before.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
All right, so now we move on to the Wombat.
Oh, we're going a little zigzag.
We're going a little zigzag.
Well, most of what took up my fondling this week was Viking, like everybody else. And like everybody else, I love it. I don't care what the reviews say. I love it. I think it's awesome. It's gorgeous, number one.
Yeah.
I love the art design. Like we were discussing before we went on air, it's got a very Fable / Overlord kind of art design to it, and it's just, I love it. I love the whole gloomy and rainy when you go into an area where the enemy's taken over, and then the sun comes out when you actually liberate it.
The forces of hell.
Yeah. I love the fact that every little skirmish you go into, you can either just rush headlong in there and hack some people in half, or you can try and sneak in and free your guys first so they can help you. I love it. I'm through the first set of islands and on the second one now, and I just played the crap out of it yesterday. I kept telling myself that I'm like, all right, I'm only going to play this for a couple hours because there's some other games that I want to play.
Yeah.
And then I sat down and just played it the whole night.
That's the way I was the first night I had it. I had Dark Sector sitting in reserve ready to go to that after Viking, and then 2.5 hours later, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to play anything else because that was my time.
Right.
And I spent it all playing Viking, so.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Indeed. So that took up most of my gaming time. I did also play some Dynasty Warriors. Some more Dynasty Warriors.
Dynasty
I still
Warriors.
Like it. You know, sue me. I'm pretty much the king of liking mediocre games. So,
the king of mediocre.
I played a little bit of MLB The Show, not a whole lot. I played a lot, actually, of God of War Chains of Olympus on the PSP, which I should have a review of next week. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. The only thing that I can kind of fault it on at this point is the no right analog stick really hampers your ability to roll and evade. But you know that's not a criticism of the game. That's criticism of the platform. So it's really, 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 really good. And graphically, it's phenomenal. It looks just as good as a PS2 game. I think, to be honest with you, that kind of wraps it up for this week.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I didn't really get a whole lot of time to play a lot of stuff, but when I did get a lot of time, I spent it playing Viking and God of War. So, yeah. So there you go. That's mine.
What about this week? What are you going to look forward to playing?
I'm looking forward to playing more Viking this
more
week.
More Viking.
More Viking.
I'm looking forward, actually looking forward to playing some more Dynasty Warriors. Looking forward to playing some more the show. I really, really, really at some point this coming week want to play either Unreal or Warhawk online because we haven't played anything online in forever. So I'm looking forward to that, hopefully. And then, obviously, GTA and Mario Kart once they come out. like and then once I get done with God of War, I've got Dark Sector coming to me. So,
you know, actually, I'm looking forward to playing Call of Duty 4 multiplayer again.
Yeah.
And perhaps the campaign, which I have yet to delve into.
Campaign's awesome.
Yeah, the campaign's really good.
Yeah.
It should be a nice seg into mine.
There you go.
Because I played, actually went back and played some Call of Duty 4 myself this week.
Oh, really?
And I started playing the single player on Veteran.
That's the hardest difficulty?
The hardest difficulty, yes.
And?
I heard it's one of the toughest games ever on that difficulty.
It is extremely hard. It is extremely hard. Like, literally, two shots and you're dead. Two bullets to your body and you're dead.
Man.
I mean, I only did the first level, like the cargo ship level. I did that and I probably died three times. And it's a short level with very few enemies. So I mostly let my guys do all the work to try to stay alive as much as I did. But the one time that they were trying to shoot somebody and that I couldn't, they wouldn't kill him, I went down to try to help and I was dead.
Wow.
And I had to start it over. I'm like, oh, shit. So I was creeping down. It really makes you stop and try really hard to make it through. Because literally, if you get out in the open with a couple guys shooting at you, you're dead.
I'd hate to see what the TV studio level looks like with
the TV studio level
Veteran.
And the level where you carry the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Back, and then you have to fight off all those guys while the helicopter comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
not looking forward to that.
Not
huh?
looking forward to that. So, but I did play some more of that single player. Also this week, 360 stuff. I didn't play a whole lot of 360. I mean, it's blasphemy. I didn't play Viking or Dark Sector this week. I really wanted to. I was going to, but I just didn't get around to it. I did play Rock Band because I got my drums back from Harmonix. I had sent away for replacement drums.
Uh-huh.
And I got my drums back from Harmonix, and they are so super fluid now. I'm doing rolls like crazy, and it's so much more fun now that the drums are fully functional the way they should be.
So they're, like, different?
Well, yeah, because like in the old set of drums I had, when you try to do rolls like where you do like that, you know, it wouldn't register them. It would only register a little bit. So I got them back and had them replaced, which kind of sucks because it's both instruments that came with my Rock Band have now been replaced, the guitar and the drums.
You'd think they were made by Microsoft.
You'd think.
Yeah.
There's a little red ring that goes around.
So are the drums on retail, are they the new ones?
I don't know. I don't know what model numbers these things are. But the nice thing is about Harmonix and EA is that they're replacing this stuff for free. And, like, literally when I sent away for them, they sent me the drums in the mail. So I requested a replacement, and they sent me the drums first and then had me package my broken ones and send them back. So I was not without my drums at all.
Oh, man, that's really nice.
Yeah,
that's
so really it was good. Really – I got the box, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to pack this up and send it away. And I opened it up, and – there were drums in there. And I'm like, holy shit, there's drums already in there. So I took them out, hooked them up, put my old ones in the box, mailed them off. Hooked them up, started playing. I was so much smoother now. Everything works. It's great.
See, I'm thinking about picking up a Rock Band and the drum set. And I'm just wondering which kind they have. I probably should just wait until the new model's in more of a circulation.
Yeah. But even if it is broken when you get it, you know, you can get a replacement easy.
Yeah.
And honestly, you probably wouldn't notice it as much because you wouldn't play on the harder difficulties to start with.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't even notice that the rolls don't work because you don't even start getting into rolls till you get to hard. So.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't notice it as much. I think that's really about all I played on my 360 this week. I didn't play a lot of 360 this week. I played a little more Brain Challenge. I did my daily test.
Which is fun.
It is fun. I'm up to 7% now.
Nice.
The usage of my brain. So, but that's fun just to throw in every now and then. I didn't play any of the arcade games because I just haven't had the money to buy them. So that sucks.
Ikaruga's pretty sweet, man.
Yeah, I know. I really want Ikaruga. Like, really bad.
Yeah, same here.
So I'm going to try to get some points cards this week and pick those up. everything else I played... was All PlayStation stuff.
Dun, 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 dun.
Like I said, we played Warhawk one night, just fooling around with Warhawk. Since Killer Wolverine had never played Warhawk, we just jumped in and started messing around.
So what was your opinion on Warhawk, having never played it before?
No, I played it for like 20 minutes at Brian's house.
Oh, but the real thing about Warhawk, though, that you need to see once you get into it is playing with 32 people. Yeah. That's when Warhawk is a ball. Because you notice how big those maps are.
Yeah.
You get into those maps and you're just like running around by yourself and it's just not very fun. But when you have 32 people, you know, 16 on each side, it's like a whole nother game.
Right.
So.
Hook it up. Let's do it.
Hook it up.
Well, that, and I'm sure Unreal would be better with more players. Because those bots, I don't know why you guys were talking all like, oh, they get harder. I suck at those games and I was getting more kills than I thought I would with those bots being on the higher difficulty.
I can put them on Unreal if you want.
Hook it up. Hook it up.
Are you trying to coin a phrase?
It's going to be...
Why not?
Hook it up.
It's going to be Wolverine's t-shirt for the...
Hook it up.
That's what his t-shirt's going to say on the back of it. Hook it up.
Hook it up. So. But, yeah, we played Unreal 2. Not Unreal 2. Unreal also.
There you go.
And, I have fun playing Unreal because it's so fast, and it's like, as soon as you die, you're right back in the game.
Yeah, but is it me, or is Quake faster, just a little bit?
I wouldn't think. I think Unreal is a little faster.
Really?
If you went back and played Quake now, you'd probably see the difference between the two. I mean, Quake's fast.
Right.
There's no doubt Quake's fast. But
it's
Unreal...
just weird, because I did get a couple kills with that sniper. No, I didn't zoom in with
it. It's hard. I don't zoom in with it. It's just like, eh. I just try to take the shot, you know. The other game that I played this week, this is my late to the party. Thanks to Mr. Killer Wolverine, we have a copy of The Eye of Judgment, and my wife really, really wanted to play this game. So we hooked it up. I think it was Thursday night. We set the table out. We put the camera down. Got it all set up. Learned how to play. Okay, the first thing I have to say, and I know I'm going to catch so much flack for this, fucking update, man. This update took an hour and a half. 1,347 update files I had to download. Then once they downloaded, I had to manually install them one at a time. One at a time.
Holy crap. Welcome to PC 1980s.
Literally, we started it at 8 o'clock. We put the game in at 8 o'clock, let it start. About 40% through, we're like, okay, we need to go to the store real quick. We run to the store, come back, it's at 52%.
Oh my God.
By 9:40, we finally had everything hooked up. And wow. You got to think, during the week, this is almost time to close down for the night. You know, it's like, I'm getting ready to go to bed. I got to get him to go to work. So we finally sit down, we plug it in, we start playing. The butt rock is awesome. Awesome butt rock. It just, the intro is just, is really cool. It's long, but it's really cool. Then we get into the game, and we got to try to figure out how to play. So what you have to do is you get this deck of 30 cards. You separate the cards. When you start a game, you pick how many players you're going to play. And then you shuffle the 30 cards. Each player gets 5 cards to start. And then you get to make, on your turn, you get to draw one card, you get a mana charge, and then you get to lay a card down. There's 9 squares on the board, and each time you lay a card down, the objective of the game is to get five squares in your possession, or to not be able to draw cards anymore. So I think you get like 26 draws at the beginning, so you probably never will run out. And when you lay the card down, the camera reads it, and there's, like, depending on which way you faced it, it can guard in different directions, or it can attack in different directions, and if you lay it on, it has elements, so if your character's a wood element, you lay it on wood, you get bonuses and stuff like that. And it's actually really cool, because you lay the card down, and it does this little thing where it reads the card, and then the monster pops up on the screen.
Yeah.
And then you go into these battles, and it's so cheesy, it's good. Like, it pops up, and I remember the first thing we did was we were playing. It's funny because you never see what the other player has.
Right.
So when they lay it down, it's always a surprise. So we're playing, and I lay down this like group of Viking-looking dudes, and I got them in the middle. And then she lays down like these fire mosquito-looking things, and they attack my dudes, and my dudes die. So I lay down this just army of monsters, and it just wipes her out. Then she lays a card down. This big, giant metal Goliath comes out on the board, and it just, like, towers over the board. And I'm just like, oh, shit. But it's just, it's so cool how it works. And it's deceptively deep. because it looks so simple. You got 9 squares, take 5 of them. Sounds easy. But depending on which way your character can attack, because if you lay a card down and it's facing, it can only attack forward. If they lay a card to the side, there's nothing you can do. You get attacked that way. There's characters that can attack around. So, like, if I place a character here, it can attack this square over here and skip the middle. But you also got to be careful if your character attacks straight through. It'll hurt your own guys. I mean, there's a lot to it. And you can cast spells with the cards and stuff. I could see where it would get really deep. The only thing is the lighting in our living room is terrible. So, like, there'd be times we'd lay the card down, it wouldn't read it. It just wouldn't read it. And we kept trying to pull the lamp over and, like, hover it over the board. Like, come on, read it. Read the card.
So it has to be in a really brightly lit room.
Yeah, you really need good lighting to play the game. But it's very cool. I can understand why it was so expensive. But at the same time, I don't know that I would have ever wanted to pay that much for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really cool. It is something you really have to set up, and you really have to say, okay, I want to play this tonight. And surprisingly enough, the games don't last that long. You would think, like, Cold Saga, when we play that lasts like an hour a game.
Right.
With this, you can get a game in about 20 minutes, really. And it's
probably
takes
you that long to set it up.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It is fun. I just love laying the card down and seeing the thing pop up on the screen. There's just something cool about it.
Well, you know they released a expansion pack.
Yeah. And the thing is when you get the game, you only get the 30 starter deck cards.
Yeah.
So in order to keep seeing new monsters, you want to go out and buy new cards and stuff.
Thing is, though, one thing that kind of turned me off was they released a whole new set of cards, like, in the past, like, 2 weeks. Like a whole other set, like it's called Series 2.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have to buy the Series 2 cards, but on the PSN network, you have to download, and I think it costs like $15, the Series 2, like, code.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so that you could use the Series 2 cards. It costs like an additional, I don't know, it might be $10. It's either $10 or $15.
That sucks.
I think that's for, like, the more serious players.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just buying it just to play the game, you can probably deal with what comes in the box and then maybe buy a couple packs of the cards or something and be good with that and not have to worry about... I can't see myself going in and buying all this extra shit. I just don't see myself doing that. I see myself sitting down and playing this, like, with my wife or, like, when people come over and you say, hey, check this out, and you can play it for a couple rounds, and it's actually kind of cool, you know?
Have you played online?
No, I don't plan on playing it online. I mean, it's just more of an internal kind of thing. I don't have any desire to play it online.
Kinda
because
like Rock Band.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of game where I'm not ever going to be to the point where I'm so good or that I spend enough time to play it to get online and play with these guys that want to play online. I just want to play it with the same kind of casual people that will just come in and say, oh, you know, and just have fun with it.
Right.
Instead of being serious about it. I don't ever think I'll be serious about this game, but I think it's neat the way it works.
So is this Killer Wolverine's copy or is it yours?
He had a copy of it and he gave it to us.
Really?
It came with the PS3, though.
Yeah, when
he bought
his PS3, he got it. And he had no interest in it.
Yeah.
So, I said, well.
You might as well sing the song, Wombat.
Lay your cards down on the table.
Yeah.
This one might be a giant steel Goliath. Oh, yeah. It's the butt rock when you go into battle is just awesome because it says it goes battle and they're like dun 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 dun. It's so funny. Like the intro is full of butt rock too. Like it's this big epic battle where these two guys keep laying cards down and their monsters come out and start fighting. It's like yeah. No, but it's really neat game. If you get a chance to play it, you should definitely play it.
Cool.
It's neat to play. It really is a neat experience. The other game, people have been bugging us on the forums about a little bit. One specific user has been bugging about the forums is Mana Chemia, I guess is how you pronounce it, the Alchemist of Al Ravis.
Oh.
Yes, I'm... Gambus Con plays an FPS this week. I'm going to talk about a strategy RPG.
Wow.
What
nice.
The hell happened?
What the hell happened? Did you guys switch bodies for a week?
I think we did. But this is the newest NIS SRPG based around alchemy. It's like the the follow-up, the successor to the Attila Iris series. It's a very similar game where it focuses. It's once again, it was so funny because in my review, I was going through my story. I'm like, okay, you play this guy with this funny name. And I said his name is like Vi Vance or something like that. And I go, and he has, wait for it. And I put ... amnesia. And he runs around a school of Harry Potter children where they teach you alchemy.
Nice.
And in the school, you do these classes. Okay, now, did you play Attila Iris?
No.
Okay. Basically, those games were really for the hardcore SRPG players. They were real hard. You know, they took a lot of skill. If I had to say what Manakimia was, it is like the SRPG for dummies.
Oh, wow.
It is so easy. Like, your classes consist of going out and killing, like, the big boss characters or collecting items. Well, this would be challenging if the item that you're going out to collect wasn't everywhere. Like, you can't miss it. It's almost impossible to fail a class. So there's no... The cool thing about it is it has the grow book for your party characters. This grow book, basically when you collect items and you make them in the alchemy part of the game, they unlock new skill sets for your party members. Okay, well, the thing that's funny about it is you can build your characters up to such a high level at the beginning of the game that you will never die. Like, it is almost impossible to die in this game. It is so easy. And I said in my review, you know what? I love this because I am... an RPG tard. I can't help it. I don't get deep into it. I just like to play. I don't like to go in and do all the micromanagement and all that stuff. And in this game, you don't have to do it. Hmm. It is so simple. Like, you can just blast right through the game, and it's not hard.
So it's a strategy RPG for the ADD crowd.
Yeah, the visuals, it looks... it's got like a 3D background with a 2D side-scrolling. Like, you can go in and out of the level. Kind of like that. And it's not really SRPG, it's more just straight RPG.
Oh, okay.
So it's not... I mean, you spend most of the game at the classes, doing your alchemy, going out, picking up items and defeating characters, growing more skills in your grow book.
Man, I can't believe this, man. I'm freaking playing first-person shooters and bloody violence, and here's Zero Tolerance talking about freaking a grow book and alchemy.
And Eye of Judgment.
And Eye of Judgment and putting your cards down on the freaking table and Goliath.
Hey, you know what? Play games, not consoles.
Duh, duh, duh.
Play games, not genres.
Yeah, play games, not genres.
Actually, the Eye of Judgment was obviously because my wife wanted to play it and we wanted to try it out. And I thought it was a neat concept. Manakimia was all review. I had to review it. And I had to review both of the Attila Iris games, so that's why I compare it to both of those. It is very similar to the Attila Iris games. Very similar, except it's just a lot easier.
Did it have a good soundtrack?
The soundtrack is the best part of the game.
Really?
The collection box they sent me even had the soundtrack in it. Like,
oh,
on
you
CD.
You got the collector's edition?
Yeah, I got the collector's edition, so... Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the soundtrack is the best part of the game. The story, once again, like I said... Kid with amnesia running around a Harry Potter school learning magic.
So were you playing it on your PS3?
Oh, yeah. I don't have a PS2. Since mine's Sweet. Fully backwards compatible, so. But, yeah, it's...
Yeah, rub that in.
You go away, and the first word that comes out of your mouth in, like, 10 minutes is like, yeah, rub that in.
Yeah, rub that in.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I bought my PS3, you know, when it came out.
I didn't have money when it came out. I don't have money now, but $250 for what? What does it go for? The crappy system I have. The two USB ports.
I don't know.
What, 400?
I don't know what a PS3 sells.
You talking
for
about it? The 40 gig? Yeah, it's 400. So actually, I forgot to share this. I went actually to Best Buy yesterday with a friend of mine who purchased a PS3.
Oh,
he actually bought it just for MLB The Show.
Nice.
Yeah, he wanted to play MLB 08 The Show so bad that...
Does he have any of the other ones, or is it just PS3?
Yeah, he's got 360, too.
Oh.
And he asked me if it was worth it, and because he has a 360, too. And he's more of a sports gamer. He likes shooters, too.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, a hardcore gamer. He loves video games, and he plays a lot of video games, but he's not a hardcore gamer, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
So I was telling him, I said, well, you know, The Show is awesome. I said, Uncharted is awesome. I said, if you like shooters, Unreal is awesome. And, you know, I was telling him about the free online. And I said, but, I mean, right now, as far as the games that he likes, there's not a whole lot of exclusives on the PS3 that he's going to be jumping up and down about. And I said, and even the stuff that's coming, like Metal Gear, he really has no interest in.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy, he has no interest in. You know, God of War, he has interest in, but that's not
next
for
year.
A while, right? So, but I told him, you know, I'm like, you know, the show and Uncharted are both phenomenal and, you know, reason enough to have the system, in my opinion. So he bought it. And I haven't had a chance to talk to him since yesterday to see if he's digging it or not yet.
They haven't started coming with the DualShocks yet, have they?
No.
That
no,
starts
it
with
was still with the 6Xs. They actually didn't even have the DualShock at Best Buy when I was there. Nope.
Really?
All they had were 6Xs.
Hmm.
So, but hopefully he'll – I'm sure he'll he'll dig Uncharted, and I know he'll love the show. So, but, yeah, that was – I did my part to – further the Sony agenda yesterday. I felt like a shill.
Yes.
But what can I say? I love the show and Uncharted, so they were enough for me to tell him to buy the system. And also, I wanted to mention, too, I forgot, on Viking, since we were talking about it during the fondling.
Yeah.
I love the way achievements are handed out in Viking. I think it's pretty much...
Oh, yeah.
I think it's pretty much the perfect combination between getting achievements for your natural progression through the game and getting achievements for, like, special things that you accomplish.
Yeah.
Like fatalities and killing the champion perfectly. But there's enough balance where you still get, you know, progression-minded achievements. I think they did a great job on these.
Yeah, the achievements in Viking are excellent. They're really well done.
Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to more games utilizing them well because they just did a recent study about them and, you know, people love games, love to do the games that have really good achievements.
Right,
yeah.
You know, they don't want games like Avatar where it's 5 minutes and you get 1,000 points. But they also don't want games like friggin' DOA Extreme 2 where you can play for 100 hours and never get one.
Right.
You know, everybody likes a balance. Balance is right. Dirt was another one that was really good about that kind of achievement where, like, how many miles you drove, you know, how many times you did this, how many times you did that, how many events of these did you
complete. Very progressive.
Very progressive in the hand amount, and you get them regularly. It's not like you play for 15 hours and you get nothing.
Right.
Or you play for 10 minutes and you get everything. They need to be spanned out well.
My take on achievements is that if you play all the way through the game, you should get at least 60% of the achievements of the game. Through the natural, like the achievements should be set up in such a way that through the natural progression of the game, if you play the entire thing, you should get 60% of the achievements. Maybe
the rest of them, will be going back and doing other things or playing the game on a different difficulty.
Now, I'm not saying you need to make all the achievements beat level 1, beat level 2, beat level 3.
No.
But stuff like Viking has where kill 500 enemies, you're going to get that during the progression of the game, but you're not going to get it right away. So it gives you a reason to keep playing.
Exactly. I'm really enjoying that. And my future fondling, I mean, is it cliche to say I'm obviously looking forward to GTA and Mario Kart?
Yeah, I think it's a little
cliche.
Because,
you know, who isn't
point?
Looking forward to that? But here's the big thing. I bought Folklore yesterday.
Nice.
I finally got my copy of Folklore
really?
Yesterday. So this week, I'm going to be playing some Folklore.
Hmm.
I've been waiting to get this game. I got it yesterday. I downloaded my updates. I downloaded my little extra content. I'm ready to start playing this week. So
sweet.
So that's going to be my future fondling this week, and then hopefully some other stuff will pop up, and I'll pick up some points and get Ikaruga and Mr. Driller. And
Mr. Driller's pretty fun.
Yeah. So
I downloaded the demo for it. I haven't played it yet.
It's a good little game.
I liked it on it was on Dreamcast before.
Dreamcast.
Yeah, I liked it on Dreamcast.
I used to have it on DS.
Did you?
Yeah, it was pretty good on DS too.
It's a fun little game.
Yeah.
So that's my future fondling for the week, and I'll. No, everything else is not until GTA.
Yep.
Mario Kart.
GTA and Mario Kart.
I got to see some new footage of Mario Kart, and I have to say,
it looks good. It looks very good.
Looks
excelente. I read through, you can call it cheating, I guess, but I read through another website's guide on Mario Kart and got a whole bunch more information on the tracks and the characters that are going to be in it and the secret characters and everything. So I'm even more excited for it than I was already.
Oh, yeah. Mario Kart's also on my radar.
All right, so now we're going to go into news.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Star Radio Program proudly presents News Quickies. Brought to you by Killer Wolverine's Legion of Doom. Now available for washing dishes, birthday parties, and world domination schemes. Call now and receive a free 50% off coupon for GambusCon's DJ services. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
That was awesome.
There you go.
That's a forum in joke, so you need to read the forum thread on the podcast show from last week to get that one. And special thanks to Silfo for the actual – I stole that straight from his post. So
there you go.
Silfo.
Special thanks to him.
First up, a little bit of European news for our European listeners. Rock Band was announced, price and date, and it's a great for rich 360 owners. That's the gist of it, because it is not coming to PS2 and PS3 right at the beginning. It's coming to 360 only at the beginning. And the price, let me see if I can scroll down. I don't know how the exchange rate works, but the game is going to be packaged without the game, just the instruments. The instruments by themselves for €129.99, €169. All three peripherals, not the game. The game will be sold separately for €49.99 or €69.99. So if you want the full experience, the minimum you're going to have to shell, €180 or €240. So, now, the good news, I guess. There will be exclusive tracks, 8 exclusive tracks for the European version, and in addition to the 58 songs that are in the regular edition. These are Beetlebum by Blur, Rock and Roll Star by Oasis, Hysteria by Muse, Manu Chao, by the Les Wamaps.
I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Les Wamaps. I don't speak that language. New Wave by Playmo. That's German. But
here,
it's
here kommt Alex
by Die Totenhosen.
Die Totenhosen.
Die Totenhosen. Perfect Welle by Julie. See, these bands, most of these I don't know. And Countdown to Insanity by H Block X.
Huh.
Now, also, the day of release, all of the downloadable content will be available to Europeans. All 70 plus tracks that are in the US will be available. And for US owners of Rock Band, all 8 of the European exclusive tracks will be available for purchase. Through the store. So.
Sweet.
Cool.
Yeah. And
so you can download all these foreign music bands that...
Well, Oasis and Blur, you should know who they are. But
Most of us haven't heard of some of the other groups.
But you can download all those tracks, and Europeans can download all the U.S. tracks. What sucks is it's only on 360. Because then that means PS3 owners don't get... I don't know if this was paid for. Like, did they opt to get it exclusive or something?
Hmm.
But it is only 360. It is ridiculously expensive. And it's,
but it's fun.
No, Rock Band is really fun. And if you have the means, there is no way you should not buy it. Because it is definitely worth it. But I don't know. Somebody sent me a message the other day that told me the exchange rate for it. And we're talking... like way up in the big dollars.
I think I saw this on another website. I think it was like $350.
Yeah, it's in the 300s for if you want. And what's weird is they're making the package with just the instruments, not the game.
Yeah, so if you buy the instruments and the game, it'll pretty much cost you like in euros about the equivalent of a 360.
Right. Do they not want these people to play the game?
I don't know what it is, honestly, and I don't know.
We have a question about that, actually.
Yeah, we do later.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I don't understand it. But moving on, I swear, I'm sorry that I chuckled when I read this news, but Lair is getting a patch to let you play with the analog sticks.
It should have been in the game from the beginning.
But here's the funny part. A lot of people are saying, oh, should the game be re-reviewed now? No, it should not. Because, and I made this comment yesterday. Let's say that we re-reviewed, and this is speaking from a journalist perspective, what if we re-reviewed every game after a patch came out?
Yeah.
StarCraft would get what now, an 11 out of 10? After they fixed everything?
An 11 out of 10.
I mean, Halo's been patched. Call of Duty's been patched. Should we go back and re-review those too? I mean, no. It should not be re-reviewed.
But did that? I never played it. I didn't know you couldn't play with the analog
No,
stick.
You have to
was
play
it unplayable?
It was very bad.
Well, then if this hard. Helps the playability, then why not just go back and give it a second chance?
No.
Because not a lot of patches go back and, you know, approve that deep into gameplay.
Because, you know what? If that was what was wrong with the game in the first place, it should have been in the game in the first place.
It's like a re-release, then.
Not becoming a year later. We don't re-review... Like, you don't re-review a game when it comes back out. That's the reason why a lot of the, like, collections, like Metal Gear Solid Essentials, who's going to review that?
Right.
I mean, I mean, this. What does it add? This adds actual playability.
So put it in Layer 2.
Yeah, put it in Layer
Electric
2.
Boogaloo.
Then.
Electric Boogaloo.
You know what?
I disagree with the concept of a re-review for a patch, but...
It's a big patch.
It is a big patch.
It's a big change, and I think it might boost sales of the game because now it's actually playable, and that's fine, but... You know what? Those reviews that were written for the game when it came out, those still stood when the game came out. You know, you can't release a game, like for instance, you release like Madden 08 or whatever, and it doesn't have all the players in it. And then 6 months down the road, they update with all the players in it. Like, oh, here's all the NFL teams. Yes. Here's the new stuff. And you go, oh, well, I should re-review that. No, you shouldn't.
Not really the same,
right,
man.
You review a game based on content out of the box. And if it doesn't have analog control out of the box, then you review it without analog control.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying since that's a big part of how to, you know, play the game.
Well, think about it. If people actually – if the media would actually re-review a game, you know, based on a patch, all these developers for every game that's ever came out will be like, oh, let's make a new patch so that we could get re-reviewed.
Right.
So then you'll have all these re-reviews.
We're not just talking about a tiny patch here, though.
You'll have review, like, 2.0.
But do you feel like a game like Monster Madness should have got re-reviewed?
I haven't played it since the patch. I don't know what the patch has fixed.
Like, Two Worlds is another one. Like, if you'd played Monster Madness before the patch, you probably would have hated it. It was so bad before it had so many good ideas, but it was so bad. Or, like, Two Worlds before it got patched, the frame rate.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Awful.
Just, oh my God.
Or Mass Effect. If they patch Mass Effect today and fix the frame rate issues that are present, but I didn't notice them as heavily as other people did, or patch the pop-in, which is bad. It's just bad.
Yeah. Texture pop-in.
Or patch the load times, it shouldn't get re-reviewed. I mean, it's good that they're fixing it, but it shouldn't get re-reviewed.
But did it make it unplayable, is my question.
No. I mean, no game is unplayable unless it's completely and absolutely, utterly impossible to control.
Well, then that answered my question about Lair. Was it unplayable without the thumbstick?
No, it wasn't unplayable, but it definitely wasn't...
It wasn't as good as it could have been.
It wasn't as good as it could have been.
Right. Well, that's... If it was unplayable, then I could see a re-review, but if it's not unplayable, then there's no need for it. That's all I was trying to say.
I think that if it comes out and it makes the game better, that the word of mouth from people on forum boards and
well, yeah, actually then it goes back to that what you said before. Isn't it too late for that then?
Could be. It very well could be. But you know what?
I don't actually. In this most cases, I would say yes, it's too late for that. In this case, I don't think it is. Just because Lair got so much press for the control situation, I think that now that they're patching it, they'll get so much press about the fact that analog control is in it now, that it'll draw a lot of people back into the game. It actually, once the patch comes out for analog control, I plan on at least game flying it to play it because I was interested in the game before, but the controls are what turned me off.
Yeah, same here. I'm actually curious about getting Lair now if they implement the when they implement the analog control scheme.
Agreed.
All right, moving on. More sad news from the world of closing studios. We have two this week. Sega has closed its racing studio. So.
That sucks.
No more Sega Rally.
Man.
So, that one's closed. The second one that closed, near and dear to my heart, Pseudo Interactive is closed. Makers of Full Auto, they are now gone. Dead.
Aww, that's disappointing.
That's awful.
That's two more to add to what the three we announced last week that have closed studio. So,
and anyone pick up the Full Auto racks?
Probably not, considering the PS3 version of Part 2 just sold about 12 copies.
Right. Well, shit, that's their own fault for not buying it.
I don't disagree, but it's, you know, it sucks. Of course, Pseudo made Full Auto for Sega, so it could have something to do with each other.
Right.
Battlefield Bad Company weapon downloads, not charged.
Yep.
Not charged. Sweet. Oh, okay. Now, so they have restated what was going on there. Sorry, I believe this to be PR spin. I think they were originally planning on it, and with the outcry, I think they changed their mind.
Absolutely.
What it is there's going to be a collector's edition called the Gold Edition of Battlefield Bad Company, and when you buy this edition, you will get those weapons that are the gold weapons. Eventually, you will be able to get them in the regular edition, but these are exclusive for the Gold Edition version.
If you don't get the gold, like you said, are they for free then?
Not at the beginning.
But later on.
You won't even have access to
them. Right, but later on they'll be downloadable.
That's what they're claiming.
All right.
So we'll see. But I personally think they were going to charge for these first and then changed their mind and said, oh my God, listen to these people crying about buying weapons.
It is stupid.
It is stupid. Yeah. And they should not have been charging for weapons. And you know what? They try to do this again and the same outcry will come.
But EA is notorious for that. I mean,
cheat codes?
That and strategy guides online? Or
strategy
whatever
guides,
for Madden?
Like, so many people do strategy guides online and charge for them. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I don't agree with
if
that.
If I'm going to buy a strategy guide, I want a freaking book in my hand.
All right, next up. This made me excited. New Kane and Lynch maps are coming. And they're free.
Of course they are.
They're free.
Of course they are, because they know no one would pay for them.
Don't start. That game sold more than two worlds. Oh, snap.
That's true, but you know what? It wasn't as good as Two Worlds.
That's debatable. Okay, we're arguing over the worst game of last year.
We're arguing over whether Kane and Lynch or Two Worlds is better.
That's an argument not to be won by
I had fun with Kane and Lynch.
I love Kane and Lynch. I'm sorry. I don't think it's a great game, but I had a ball with it, and I'm looking forward to these new maps to play with all five people that are still online.
Oh, yeah.
If they're still there.
Yes. All right, next up. This one blows my mind. Microsoft is going to make a motion controller similar to the Wiimote. It even looks like the Wiimote, except it has the Microsoft buttons on it. And they're also stealing the Mii idea for Xbox Live.
What?
They're going to create a Mii-style avatar for Xbox Live.
What the hell? Why?
I don't know why. I just
because
know
Nintendo's a trendsetter.
Whatever. There's no need for Microsoft to go that way. You know what? I think their take on it is that they're already getting sales from hardcore gamers. If they can put some R&D in and sell a remote game combination that's similar to Wii Sports, I'm sure that they figure they can make a ton of money off of it.
And this,
I don't have any doubt because you know how hard it is to find a Wii, so why not capitalize on it?
Yeah. This goes back to the whole point of. You know, everybody says PlayStation Network would be as good as Xbox Live if they copied. Okay, it seems like Sony doesn't want to copy a lot of things. Microsoft's not afraid to do it, and you shouldn't be, because you know what? Xbox Live was great. Everybody should copy it.
Yeah.
The Wii's avatar system, the Mii, is great. Everybody should copy it. You know, the Rumble that came into controllers is great. Everybody should copy it. You should not sit around and go, oh my God, I don't want to do this because somebody else did it first. You should just bite the bullet. Every system should have a gamer tag. Every system should have achievement points. Every system should have the Mii units. Every system should have, you know, I like the channels on the Wii.
Yeah.
I think every system should have those.
Yeah. Well, Microsoft sort of did that with their TV channels, though.
Well, I mean, like for the on the screen where you have different channels for different games, I think you should have a menu like that in Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network. The Xbox Live Marketplace is so great, Sony copied it. Everybody should be copying from each other because you know what? It just makes your experience better. Don't try to make something different just because it's not the same.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's everybody in the software and hardware industry copies from everybody. I mean, it's just that's just the way the technology industry works.
Windows copied from Mac.
Right. And then Mac turned around and copied from Windows.
Exactly.
Everything. Everybody copies from everything.
Firefox copies from Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer copies from Firefox. Yeah. It's just how the industry works. And stealing other people's ideas like that and adding them into your own is not bad. It just makes the user experience for the person who owns that console better.
Right.
And I fully support that.
A lot of people's problem with some of that stuff seems to be that, you know, if everybody copies from everybody else, then everything ends up the same and nothing's different. But that's not true.
No, it's all
everybody
about the
implements it in a different way.
Yeah, like the PlayStation Store is going to be awesome this week. I am so looking forward to seeing that because it's just like the Marketplace now. And that's going to make the PlayStation Store kick ass.
Right.
When's this supposed to
17th,
take place?
Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday.
Sweet.
We will see the new PlayStation Store, which looks almost like the Marketplace. It's so close it's uncanny, and I'm pumped about it because I can't wait to be able to navigate through and find exactly what I'm looking for all the time.
So what's the, any more details on this Microsoft thing then?
No, it just popped up, and apparently this came from an insider who had seen the controller.
Yeah.
So it looks
exist.
Just like the Wiimote, except it has the four different colors.
And it has an analog stick.
It has an analog stick.
No.
So it's just one stick.
It's just one controller. It has an analog stick and the four colored buttons on it.
Word is Sony might be looking to do the same thing.
Yeah. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I just,
they should.
For me, I don't know right now. I'll have to see more, but since I agree. It's the Wii selling for a reason, and why not jump in on the bandwagon?
Yeah, I'm not saying I'll buy it, but I think it's brilliant. And the Mii thing for Xbox Live, that would be awesome. If I could do what I can do on Xbox Live on the Wii, I would customize my Mii all the time. You know, I'd be in there constantly playing around with it.
Like I said, the Wii selling for a reason. Why not?
The other thing, too, is that, you know, if Microsoft and Sony both can release the Wii remote and everything. And, you know, if you're a casual gamer who's into the motion control games and you already have a 360 or a PS3, would you rather buy a $60 combination of a remote and a game or the $250 Wii or $200 Wii, depending on when they
Well, it also depends on the games you want to play.
So,
like, you can't play Mario Kart.
But I'm not talking about the people like us that are going to play Mario Kart and Super Mario Galaxy and Smash Brothers. I'm talking about the other folk. I mean, it'll probably steal some sales from the Wii, I imagine, from people who already own other systems.
Well, being that other folk, I don't know about that. I'd rather buy a Wii, play, you know, Smash Brothers and Mario Kart for... Because I like those games. I don't know. We'll see. More details later, right?
I'm looking forward to it. All right, next up, the last piece of news we have is a sad, sad piece of news that we would, as part of the gaming media, we would just like to wish a farewell to Mr. Shu as he heads out the door after 12 long years of making one of the best gaming mags that I read on a regular basis, as he has left the 1UP Network entirely, off to do his own thing.
Does anybody know what that is?
No,
he said he's taking vacation right now. He said he was doing about 4 weeks of just catching up on some achievements.
he is into those achievements, man.
Oh, yeah. Wow. He's
Hopefully the integrity he left of the magazine will actually stay intact.
Well, with Milkman running it now, I think Milkman is a...
Milkman's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's in charge of it because I think he'll do a good job. He kind of reminds me of a Dave Halverson light. He's very optimistic about a lot of weird and quirky games.
Yeah.
But he's not as forgiving as Dave.
Right.
We see Dave and Shu go out in the same week.
That's so messed up, man.
Well, the 1UP Network seems to be like the constant musical chairs of changing. Like, how many people have left in the last 6 months?
Well, not to mention the magazine's changed a lot.
And Games for Windows is closed.
Right.
That magazine's gone. They shut that magazine down, so... A lot of restructuring.
A lot of crazy stuff going on over in the Ziff Davis world.
I keep thinking one of these days I'm going to log on and they're going to tell me that 1UP has closed.
Yeah.
And I wonder what kind of impact that would make on the video game media. I just wonder.
Kind of makes you think if it's one step closer.
And it makes me sad. It makes me sad because I love the 1UP Network.
Yeah. You don't ever want to see anybody go under.
No, I don't. But we'll see. But... Definitely a farewell to Shu because I loved reading his material. It was very good, and he kept a lot of integrity in that magazine.
Yes, he did. That's what I said. I'm kind of scared, but we'll see.
He keeps a lot of it going there, you know, especially with the whole Ubisoft Mortal Kombat debacle.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
Well, good luck to him in his future endeavors.
Yes.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
All right.
If you're listening,
hopefully,
Dan Shu is listening.
Yeah, no, he's not listening. He don't listen to this show.
All right, next up, we're going to try something new. Some people wanted us to talk about a couple of these stories, these top stories on N4G. We're just going to run through a couple of them. The first one we want to talk about, we read a little bit earlier, was about coming soon, the super fast internet, 10,000 times faster than a typical broadband connection. All right, now you read this whole story. What was the famous quote that was read there?
You know, the whole story, like if you actually read the story itself, it's actually pretty hilarious because they're talking about this machine that they have and they're using it to probe the origins of the universe. It really does. The whole thing kind of sounds like a bad science fiction plot, but apparently it's not. Like they're talking about how they weren't able to unleash the machine 7 years ago because they were afraid it would destroy the global
infrastructure.
So, but it's a pretty. I mean, it's definitely a pretty neat read if you can just sit back and kind of laugh at it a little bit. But
and then of course it's always fun to go down and skim through the comments.
Yeah.
Of the N4G forums, and we won't read names because we don't want to point anybody out, obviously. But one of my favorite one was Lifetime Porn in 2 seconds. Oh, but just thinking of going from internet as the speed it is now to 10,000 times faster is just insane.
Yeah, the comment in there was that you could download an entire movie in 5 seconds to your PC.
There was one where it said about 3 hours. Something like downloading the entire
you could send the entire Rolling Stones back catalog
from England to here, something like that.
In two seconds.
Yeah,
on the connection, which is just sick.
That's pretty insane.
If the internet ever gets that fast, you will be able to listen to our podcasts in their entirety before they download.
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, we're going to move on now to the next story, which somebody brought up the Game Player article, which is Australia's premier gaming network, about the new Xbox 360 SKU and how 360 needs a new SKU and what it should include. Basically, he runs down that the system needs to change its design, add a Blu-ray player.
It needs to. He describes the system as looking cheap compared to the other two, which I don't necessarily agree with, especially the Elite 360, I don't think looks cheap at all. He runs down the fact that they need to put a Blu-ray player in there, that they need to get rid of the disc drive, some of which I definitely agree with, but I agree with them for the next Xbox, not a new SKU of this Xbox, because there's no way that Microsoft's going to split their user base in half between people who have the quote-unquote new Xbox and the old Xbox
and
360.
And I'm sure there's a lot of 360 owners out there that are just sick and tired of seeing different SKUs out there already. Yeah. How many have we had already?
A lot.
A lot.
We've seen a lot of SKUs this generation.
There's been a lot of SKUs on both ends. Sony's not...
Well, yeah, I'm not saying, but
we're
not
just as guilty of it. The only person that's not guilty is Nintendo, which is funny because we're waiting on the different colors to come because we know they're coming.
Nintendo has been, for a long time, the king of different SKUs, and they've been pretty quiet so far this gen. It's funny.
Like you said, I agree for the next generation. This one, leave it alone.
What kills me about this is that obviously in the comments section, this starts off as an article about somebody's opinion, and it turns into a giant flame war between the 360 and the PS3 guys because this whole article comes across as they want the 360 to be what the PS3 is now, is what it sounds like. We want a Blu-ray player. We want free online. We want this, this, and this. But at the same time, if you look at the article from a different perspective, it's saying that they want the 360 the way it is with what's good about the PS3.
Right.
So it depends on how you look at it.
Right.
If you combine the 360 and the PS3 and took the best of both worlds, yes, you would have the ultimate gaming console. You would have free online, Metal Gear Solid 4, Xbox Live, Marketplace with tons of downloads, cross-game invites, chat, all this shit in one box and a Blu-ray player.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
HDMI output straight out of the box, Dolby Digital 7.1 sound with a bunch of flashcard things in the front. You would have the ultimate system. There's no doubt about it. You know what? This article doesn't change the fact that if we had that, everybody knows it would be the definitive console. The only thing you'd be missing is Mario.
Right. Yeah.
Seriously.
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, I understand his purpose behind the article, I guess, but none of it is ever going to happen because there's, like I said, there's no way that Microsoft is going to divide the Xbox fan base into these people have a Blu-ray drive and a non-proprietary hard drive and a suck-in, disk drive.
Which I hate the trays.
Yeah, I do too. The tray is a piece of shit. And these people do not, because then there's only certain games that they can sell to one crowd and certain games that they can sell to both.
Sega CD 32X?
Exactly.
What's going on?
Exactly, and we saw what happened with that.
Microsoft is saying they're doing fine with DVDs and putting games on them, so they're not going to change it.
Hey, you know what? DVD is awesome. I love DVD, but next generation we will need Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
They didn't deny that. But
to pull one comment, and this one made me chuckle, once again, sounds like a Christmas wish list, and Santa Claus isn't real.
So, that's a very good comment.
So there you go. It is true. There is no reason to get worked up over this because it's just ridiculous. It's a wish list. It's somebody's thing. You know, if we were going to talk about what they needed to release as a bundle, I would say a GTA bundle would be prime.
Which is weird that a PS3 is getting it, but 360 isn't.
360 is not. Well, the PS3 is getting that and a Metal Gear and bundle. The question is, if you're going to buy a PS3 right now, which bundle do you buy?
I would do the Metal Gear.
Although, I'll tell you which bundle I'd buy. Have you seen the limited edition Gunmetal?
Gray?
The Gunmetal PS3? Gray? Yeah, but it's not just a gray system. It's actually made of gunmetal. Like, it's not just a plastic system with a gray color. It's
actually made of gunmetal. But does it have backwards compatibility? Is it the one that has
It does not. Oh, it's 40 gig.
See, I have to have my backwards compatibility.
That's why I think Metal Gear would sell, because it's the, I think,
it's the
80
60,
gig.
Is it 60 or 80?
I'm hearing it's 80 gig.
It comes with backwards compatibility. It has it in the box, and it has a DualShock.
And more than two USB.
Okay. Which, I have to say this, I know this isn't part of anything that's going on right now, but did you see the two box arts for Metal Gear Solid?
Yes.
Standard edition, fuck you,
sucks.
I will never buy it. Limited edition.
I'm going to go change my pre-order
gorgeous.
To limited edition tomorrow.
Oh yeah. My god, the limited edition is beautiful with Snake and Ocelot on the cover and the divider bar and the art done by Yoji Shinkawa.
Yeah, looks so much better.
Already got my money on it.
Yep, mine's pre-ordered, I'm ready to go. Ooh, that box art was so sweet.
Yeah, I'm changing mine from the regular version.
I can't believe how
version.
Bad they made the regular edition. It looks fucking terrible.
Yeah.
His
and you know what's
big
funny?
Face on the front of it.
Is the actually the our friends in the EU are going to get a very very awesome version of the box art, because the PAL box art is awesome.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet. Somebody asked me that on PSN the other night if I'd seen it, about the box arts, and I said that the LE in America is just the sweetest thing I've ever seen.
The European box art's really, really good.
Yeah, the U.S. standard box art, I feel sorry for anybody that buys it. I know it's a ridiculous thing to get upset about, but it is just bad. I don't know why. It's like they made it that bad so you would go out and buy the limited edition.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think so.
All right, now we're going to move into Ask a Question.
Cue the crew.
Come on, man. I'm still getting used to the name because we're finally in the thread now, the right thread, after 2 weeks of bobbling around. We're in the Cue the Crew thread. First up, Don't Panic, who won part of our contest
last week.
He says, it's Saturday night. The PS3 is not humming. The wife and I decided we're ready for a little nostalgia and break out the 64.
Nice. Good work.
And in a cruel turn of events, he's duped into playing Yoshi's Story.
Ugh.
The question is, when you reflect back on what gaming used to be and what it is now, what's your general feeling? Have we taken major strides, or is it still just the same old platform? It says, by the way, I think I'll be continuously crying until the podcast comes out. Damn you, White Yoshi. Pink Yoshi owns your soul.
Well, Pink Yoshi used to own my soul, but he traded it to the D-backs for a third-round draft pick and a player to be named later. See what I did there?
You made
a
baseball
joke.
Joke
I did
nobody
make a baseball
got.
Joke.
But anyway, as far as what gaming has done between then and now, I think the only reason that it's changed for me is because I've gotten older.
Yeah.
Back then, I had a lot more time
just
to sit around and play my games, and now I have to segregate out my time to sit down and play games, I think is the biggest differentiator between then and now. I don't think the games have inherently changed all that much. I think we've gotten spoiled. I think we've gotten really spoiled with all these little things that games can do.
Agreed.
With what games back then didn't do.
Right. But, I mean, in the end, the one way that you can tell that games really haven't changed, like, the graphics have changed, the control has changed, you know, the amount of processing power has changed, enemies on screen has changed, but the one way that you can tell that gaming at its core hasn't changed is that old games are still fun.
Yes.
I mean, the very fact that you played Yoshi's Story on the 64 goes to prove that there are certain constants in gaming that have not changed from Atari till now. So old games are still fun. New games are fun, too.
Yeah. Old games are fun.
That pretty much explains it right there.
There you go. See? These things can work. All right, next up. And I swear if this guy didn't stop changing his name, I'm not going to know who he is. Father Time asks, why the name change Cue to the Crew? Cue the Crew.
Well, why the change to Father Time.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, snapped right back at it.
Who came up with it? Was it Zero Function?
Zero Function
that
came up with the idea for the name, and it really kind of stuck. It was much better than Ask a Question.
Right. Ask a Question was very generic.
Yeah. We come up with generic names, and then you guys make better ones, and we give you credit for it. So that's the way it works. Like Preview the Review was a terrible name, you know, and then we need to come up with a better one, which we don't even do it anymore.
Right.
So.
Yeah, what did we call Preview the Review? It was like Guess the Review Score or something.
Yeah, they called it Preview the Review. We guessed the review score, maybe. Yeah. But that's basically what it was, is somebody had more...
somebody had more creative energy than we
exactly.
had. As we've said many, many times before, you guys are the real talent behind this podcast.
Speaking of
we're just
creative
monkeys.
Energy...
Are you looking at the Avatar?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Avatar.
You've never seen that before where Mario's humping Peach and he's getting a one-up every time he humps her?
I saw that. That's
all right.
Funny.
Next question comes from Dankster.
Dankster.
He's a dankster. He's a dark gangster. Anyways, what do you guys see with the future of keyboard and mouse support on PS3? UT3's implementation is great for those wanting the PC-type interface, and it gives the advantage to those... over those using controllers. Will we see more support for these in games? What about RTSs? This genre has had difficulties using controller, but may find more sales if they also support keyboard and mouse. Or do you see this as a dividing factor? Like if keyboards and mice are better than the original for a certain game, would that deter the controller-only users from purchasing? Other than games, keyboard and mouse support works to help type in the internet browser or put another OS on the system. Personally, he likes the option, but you have to have... yet to have found a wireless keyboard mouse combo that he's happy with. Personally, I think this is all based on developer. And obviously, Epic is going to always put keyboard and mouse support in their games. As far as browsing, that should be common on any system.
Right.
As far as if you have a web browser, you should support a mouse and keyboard, except for maybe with the Wii because it's a lot easier to navigate around with the Wiimote. But as far as for games, if you're going to go to the route of supporting a keyboard and mouse, it begs the question, why don't you just play it on the PC? I think for RTSs. Because RTS isn't a genre that has totally invaded the console market yet.
And I think it's funny that the... I don't know why this is so odd to me, but the one system that has great keyboard and mouse support, the PS3, doesn't have any RTSs on it yet.
Not yet. Which should have had Universe at War, but it didn't make it to 360. Or outside of 360, so... And I heard it's great. I keep wanting to play it.
Yeah, that's actually After Dark Sector. That's next on my GameFly queue.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to play Universe at War, and I've heard that the controls work excellent. Is there one schedule besides... I think, is End War coming to the PS3? I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, just about anything Tom Clancy's going to go multiplayer.
I'm just trying to think if there was any other... Because Halo Wars is 360. Universe at War was 360.
Command & Conquer was obviously 360.
But isn't it coming to PS3? It's EA.
I don't think it's coming to PS3. I haven't heard anything about it coming to PS3.
That is so interesting that they're not doing it on the system, and the system supports keyboard and mouse.
Right. It seems like it would be a perfect fit. I haven't figured out yet why the PS3 hasn't gotten more games like that. I also keep waiting for a lot of developers to pull the trigger on MMOs on the PS3, and I think that that's another game genre where you're going to see a lot of keyboard and mouse support, even more so than first-person shooter and... real-time strategy. I think once the high-quality MMOs start rolling out, I think you're pretty much going to have keyboard and mouse support, at least for
definitely.
Some of them.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting. I don't think it's going to deter people from buying the games because if a lot of people buy a game, the average of people who are going to be using keyboard and mouse is still going to be relatively low because not everybody's going to go out and buy one. But, yeah, the people who have it are probably going to have an advantage, and it's always going to be that way. So, I mean, people are doing it now on Unreal, and nobody really seems to care. You either get owned or you don't. And the nice thing about Unreal is you can set up a game that doesn't allow keyboard and mouse players into your game. So as long as the developer gives you a way to limit that, you'll be fine. All right, moving on. Next question comes from Twist.
What a twist.
What a twist. Says he loves the show, but he was playing some shooting games with his friends, and he's the only one among them that inverts the Y-axis. So I'm just wondering, do any of you guys invert the Y-axis?
Zero tolerance is a creepy Y-axis inverter.
Zero tolerance does use the Y-axis. I invert it, so down is up is down. That's how I roll, because otherwise you're all backwards.
You're backwards.
Right. The thing is, I do the same thing.
You invert...
Yes.
See, but with Killer Wolverine, you know what it is? It's because, you know, you play Guitar Hero left-handed and you're right-handed.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I don't even trust
my right hand move. I go up and down with the left hand. I'm not going to explain it. It just sounds bad, but whatever. the only time I invert is when I was playing Warhawk.
Yeah, I invert for flying games like Ace Combat or Warhawk, but for first-person shooters, nope.
I invert.
Do not invert.
That's why I own you all the time.
Because you invert?
Because you're backwards.
Wait, so shut up.
No, I am one of the creepy inverted people. I guess you are too, Mr. Khan.
Yeah.
So it's a 50-50 split in this room, which is funny because you know what? Every time this subject comes up, there will always be an argument about it. And you know what? You're never going to change anybody's mind about it. So there's no reason to argue.
There's no reason
to
argue.
People play the way they play.
Yeah, because I don't understand how when you push up, you look down. I don't.
What's funny is we should play one game where we both switch and you use inverted and I don't see how bad that game is.
Oh, that's going to be
horrible. Just watch it because it'll be terrible. Yeah. It'll be absolutely terrible how bad people are when they're not playing the way they're used to.
I understand the concept between inverted. Because if you think about it, if somebody's standing behind you and they push forward on your head, you're going to look down. And if they pull back on your hair, you're going to look up.
That's the way I look at it is the way if I push the stick, my character's going to go forward. If I push it, you know, up, he's going to look down. Or if I pull it back, he's going to look up. That's how my brain interprets the y-axis thing. So.
See, for me, it's much easier to point up and look up and point down and look down.
See, when I do that, I get so confused, and I end up looking way up.
Yeah, that's what I hate about.
My character's running around in a circle looking up.
That's what
up.
I hate about playing games when it's inverted and you can't change it. You, like, run around in circles like, looking straight up in
the
air.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what's going on? All right, next one. This goes back to the gum episode. Ichimaru says, I really enjoy the show. Great job. One question. What the F are you guys chewing?
Yeah, we can't apologize enough for the gum chewing debacle of 2008.
He does also say, though, great job with the show and keep the two worlds metaphors coming.
Yes.
Yes. There you go. Two worlds never die.
Never
die. It's like Cobra Kai, man.
Two world brand chewing gum. Interrupting podcasts for 17 years.
Next one comes from Chakron, I guess. Is that how you pronounce it?
Chakron, I guess.
What do you think will be the surprise hit game of 2008?
That's a good question.
Viking.
Knockout. No. Unfortunately,
Viking is
no.
The newest sensation sweeping the nation.
I don't know, honestly, at this point. There's so much stuff. I think Prototype.
Prototype's definitely got a chance.
Prototype is going to end up being that Crackdown of this year, I think.
Right.
Like this really big, interesting game that's really just a lot of fun. Because if you played the guy's previous work, Incredible Hulk, Ultimate Destruction, it was just a blast. I mean, it was really fun. It was just fun.
I'll tell you what has the potential to be my surprise hit game of 2008, if it makes it out, is Champions Online.
Oh, that comic book
game?
Yeah. That looks really good. I think the Obsidian game that's coming out looks kind of neat.
Which one's that?
That one was Alpha Protocol.
Oh, Alpha Protocol,
Alpha Protocol looks very interesting. But
that's 09.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. Yeah. I think that one looks really good, but I don't... Most of the stuff we know a lot about, like, I could say The Force Unleashed, but everybody's expecting that to be good.
Thing is, though, The Force Unleashed... tell you the truth, I mean, it looks great, but...
But
here's the thing.
Oh, another here's the thing.
It looks like a tech demo.
I'm going to hit you with my pen.
Because all the stages, everything that I've seen so far, has been flat planed. It's like a bunch of enemies coming at you and you're messing them up, you know, which is fun.
Right.
But is that it?
Right.
It just looks like an open, flat area.
I'm sure that's not
all the
it.
Videos that I've seen of it is like just open fire. What would be cool be if there's like a little bit of platforming, a little bit of jumping involved, where you'd use your force, use physics, use other objects to actually get up over obstacles.
I imagine there'll probably be a little bit of that.
Everything that I've seen so far is just, oh, you're in this giant, like, you know, quarter mile wide space hangar, you know, with flat floor and just a whole bunch of people and ships coming at you that you're screwing them up. You're destroying everything. That looks fun. Granted, the graphics look incredible. Physics look incredible.
You get to play as Darth Vader.
But...
You know what? I'm going to make you eat your words when that game comes out.
Well, I'm hoping that I'm hoping that I do eat my words.
Because right now, The Force Unleashed is my most anticipated game outside of Metal Gear Solid 4.
And I'm looking forward to like the whole storyline of the game, you know, how it fits into the continuity of the Star Wars universe and all that. But, I mean, all that they've shown so far has been flat playing. I look at level design. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Viking has a better level design than Force Unleashed. Well, I've seen of it so far.
It's like Viking done, so shut up.
Because at least the freaking Viking has hills that you can climb and adds tension to the actual gameplay. Because I think there's like a melody within gameplay. And I think that when you have like a hill, like a rolling hill that you run
pressed
up. And you see an army, that builds tension, you know. If all the stages in Star Wars Unleashed, if they're all just flat.
Yeah, but I mean, I see where you're coming from because the stages that we have shown are like that, but they haven't shown us the whole game yet. So
Yeah, I know that.
I'm reserving
but you're also
judgment.
Comparing a game that you're playing to a game that you're not going to get your hands on for another 6 months. And that's not really fair because how much of that game haven't you seen, you know?
Well, yeah, but...
I mean, there's so much that game can do.
It's just an observation.
I think it's a little bit too soon for that kind of observation.
Too soon?
Two worlds?
Well...
there's another human? One for you.
I would say that it would be too soon if it was an 09 release. But since it's 08, I think it's borderline.
I'll give you a borderline in the eye.
What about Borderlands?
What about Haze?
What about Haze?
What about Haze?
Well,
Haze
well back to the question.
How about Haze this next question that looks like
you
it's like
a freaking
novel?
Haze is
going to
be a surprise
novel.
Hit? I think Haze is going to get absolutely dominated, to be honest with you, because it comes out between Grand Theft Auto and Metal Gear.
No,
and it's
they
exclusive
haven't
to the PS3.
No, I read it's UK releases in May. No release date here yet.
Well, even the UK, the PS3 base is
my birthday.
Very strong.
Well, for Haze's release date, I'm not buying it for you.
Dick.
So, between Grand Theft Auto and Metal Gear is a terrible place for a PS3 exclusive to be.
Yes.
Well, it's not. It's after. So
all right,
not
next
in
up.
UK. Yeah. Well, when does it come out in UK?
Didn't you just say May?
May. End of May.
That's in between
Grand
Theft
Auto and
Metal
Gear.
I'm sorry. You said Metal Gear. All right.
I'm moving on to the novel question. I've already skimmed through this, so don't get crazy yet. This comes from Eorkara. It says all the questions. Basically, it goes over all the questions we went through last week for him, which was the PSP in-game, XMB, EA console, and Loaded, which we talked about that for a little bit. But and the E3 dream with Free Monkeys.
Right.
Yeah. He also says he expects us to talk about GT5 Prologue this week. He says he bought the game for $60 Australian, which is about the equivalent to $54 US. Says. The money was totally worth it. It was an awesome demo. He called it a demo. He said, I found the online all right, gameplay flawless, great presentation throughout the entire game, from menu to gameplay. He said, should he buy a steering wheel for this game? I never bought a steering wheel for the PS2, never played with one. Will the steering wheel make the racing experience better?
Yes. I love steering wheels.
There you
but
go.
They're very, very expensive.
Extremely
like, if
expensive.
You get a good one, they're very, very expensive.
Especially since you're buying a $54 demo.
Wow. Let's not start this again.
There's a limit of 2-minute talk time about GT5 Prologue this week.
Yeah.
And we're almost at it, okay? So we'll move on to his next question. Sony's announced the new store. We talked about the new store. We gave thoughts on that. Next question. He has a PS3, wants to know what game to get his girlfriend into.
Uncharted.
Mm.
I say Eye of Judgment.
There you go.
I really do.
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank. Yeah. Or if your PS3... Well, I don't know if that would work, because Buzz uses the controller ports, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I was gonna say if you had a backward compatible PS2 to get Buzz.
Yeah,
because the controller ports don't work for it, so that sucks.
I think Uncharted would be pretty cool because it's got the whole guy and gal dilemma.
Well, yeah. He said she likes MotorStorm, but it's not split screen,
right?
Which sucks.
You know,
yeah,
I would go with The Simpsons.
Simpsons
That's
is a
good one.
Co-op game.
Yeah,
that's a good game. There you go. There's a few suggestions. All right. Says, do you wish that the consoles had a DVD/Blu-ray stacker so you could have more than one game or movie in your system at a time?
No.
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 It's not needed.
I don't see myself needing that much going on at the same time. Yeah. If I play a game, I usually play it for a good hour, 2 hours, so I don't really switch a lot.
Yeah.
I like having all my movies on the hard drive. Like my TV shows that I download from Marketplace, I like having those at quick access, but those can be on the hard drive. So
yeah.
And I think stackers are pretty much out of the question at this point with the bigger hard drives and downloadable content.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I downloaded the entire season of Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles. Television show. It's only like 9 episodes.
Oh, they canceled it, huh?
No, they just ended the season early.
Oh, okay.
And it actually did end on a pretty good cliffhanger. I got to say, Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles was a really good show.
There you go. All right. He talks about the layer thing. He says, if it patches and it makes it good, he wants to know if anybody will buy it. You said
yep.
you would.
Yeah. I'll definitely.
I'll pick it up.
You?
I'll game fly it.
You'll game fly
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's what I'm not going to buy it, but I'll game
I'll
fly
I'll borrow
it
off one of y'all.
There you go.
Unless I can find it for like $20.
Right.
Because I'm not a flying game guy. It never appealed to me, even with the bad controls. I'm not a flying game guy, but I'll check it out. I really wish I'd put a demo of it up.
Yeah.
So I would have liked to have tried it at least.
Yeah, I'm definitely. Definitely. I was always interested in Lair as a concept, but.
Yeah.
The controls are what turned me off. So I'm definitely, if they fix the controls, I'm definitely willing to give it a chance.
All right. Next question comes from Frustrated Fury. Says he loves the show, huge listener of gaming podcast. One in particular is Sarcastic Gamer. Says, I hate to say this, but are you guys aware that they're kind of bashing N4G, saying it's full of PS3 fanboys, even though they get most of their web hits from posting articles on N4G? I'm not trying to start a war over here so that they have mentioned it on the show the past 2 weeks. And well, their hosts are saying something about M4G on another show, The Gamer's Garage. If they say anything on the next show, I may unsubscribe to them. There's no need to bash other sites in order to get traffic. How do you feel about this? We totally agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't feel the need to talk about any other sites in a negative connotation.
I mean, I'm sure they have their own fanboys on their website.
I'm sure they
do. It's inevitable. You gotta
have
them.
The only thing that bothers me is that they get a lot of their generation from us. You know,
But you know what? They're more than welcome to their opinion.
Mm. Here's the number one rule of the internet. There is no such thing as bad press.
True that.
For a website. Because you know what? No matter what you do, you're getting hits from somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if our site's chock full of PS3 fanboys, oh well, that's 1,000,001 PS3 clicks.
Right.
So, you know, it is what it is, and we don't control it. It's a user-driven site.
Yeah, to each their own. Whatever.
We make the show for the people.
Yep.
Oh!
We make the show for the people, and, you know, we give them what they want, depending on what they want to hear. And if you listen to the show at least once, if the boys over at Sarcastic Gamer wanted to listen to us at least once, they'd know that there's not very much fanboyism as far as PS3, 360, or whatever going on through most of us.
Yep, we're equal opportunity gamers.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I mean,
well put.
You know,
me.
I've never actually listened to the Sarcastic Gamer podcast,
I haven't either.
I don't know what their take on everything is, but I mean, they're entitled to their opinion just like anybody else is. So.
I listened to the two episodes that mentioned N4G on Sarcastic Gamer. I have to say it's a pretty decent podcast. I have to say they're pretty good. And I actually agree with their criticism of the PS3 fanboys, because I can tell that they only really read the comments of news articles. And, yeah, that's where PS3 fanboys usually end up.
And, and 360 fanboys as well. But there are a lot. There are more PS3 fanboys out there.
But it's obvious that they didn't check the forums.
Right.
Because the forums is pretty much equal.
Right.
And there's not as much flaming in the forums. It's everybody's more proper, so I can understand where they're coming from. But yeah, I agree with zero tolerance.
Never judge a book by its cover.
Yeah,
agreed.
All right, moving on. Father Time has more question, and I don't know where he gets his first question, because we say it almost every week. He wants to know what our real names are. This is Larry, Curly, and Mo. we say it every week. Did you? You're Jason?
Yeah, my name is Jason Gambrell.
That was very dramatic.
That was very dramatic.
I was dramatic. I'm not going to be as dramatic. I'm Justin Testa. Hi.
You're Italian.
I am Italian.
There you go.
I'm Ryan Wombold.
The Wombat.
That's where the Wombat
comes
from.
Where did that come from? I'm Ken McCallan. I'm Irish.
Drunken bitch.
There you go.
Freaking Nick.
Yeah. Alright, he says he's also curious to know if you're interested and or excited about the new Dragon Ball Z game for next-gen consoles.
I am.
No.
Nope.
I am.
No.
You're talking about Burst Limit? Dragon Ball Z Burst Limit?
There you go.
I heard that it returns to the Budokai control scheme, and I think that's good.
There you go.
There you go.
So we got 25% Dragon Ball Z fan on the show.
You get 25% on that one. His last question: if you were a superhero, what superhero name would you have, and would you want to have a sidekick? If so, what that's would awesome. His or her name be, or would you go solo?
Well, mine's pretty obvious. I mean, isn't it?
No, you have Should to come be. Up with.
Your I, oh, I, okay, with I misunderstood. Own. Oh fuck! I
you have
know.
To come up with your own superhero name. I don't know if I'd have a sidekick.
You know, I actually had. On City of Heroes.
You had your own superhero.
I had my own superhero that actually had a pretty decent little backstory to him. But Archeron was the guy's name. He shot fire and so forth. And flew.
It sounded like an archer.
No, Archeron, like Charon the ferryman from Hades.
From Hades?
Yeah, but in Greek mythology, but it wasn't actually him.
Yeah.
He flew by superheating the air around him and raising himself into the air.
I don't know what I would make my name be. I don't
either.
This is
not a good spur of the moment question.
It's not a good spur of the moment question. Let's think about that and maybe we'll come back to
we'll
that.
We'll reconvene for that.
We'll reconvene to that. The next question is kind of dormant now because this is opinions on EA's new trend for paying for items in the game. Obviously, Battlefield got shot down. He says Spore is probably going to use this. I'm not going to be surprised to see this, but do be surprised if the games that use this system, do you actually have to pay for them? Like the new Battlefield, like the cel-shaded Battlefield, the game is free, but everything that you want to buy outside of the standard stuff, you have to pay for individually.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see it start going to that, because that's been popular in the Asian cultures with like the basketball games where you buy more stuff to them.
Right. As long as it's reasonable.
The core game is free.
Right.
Okay. And then you pay for new items.
Well, how much are the new items? Are they reasonable?
They're cheap, 50 cents, dollar here. Okay. You know, just little things like that. You don't have to have them to play them, right. But they make the game better.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see it go to that. All right. Oh, I always love it when they preface it with, I think you'll find this to be a tough one.
Oh.
It says, where is the line between casual gamers and hardcore gamers?
I don't think there is a line.
It says, if you could ask somebody one question, just one, and then call them a hardcore or a casual gamer based on that answer, what would your question be? And no, the question can't be something like, do you consider yourself to be a hardcore gamer?
Oh, damn it, you stole my answer.
Here's where I think, here's a good question. I just thought this up. A good question that would kind of, it probably wouldn't be a solidified line between casual and hardcore, but it would be like a generalization line. Just ask them, so who should go my motto?
That's decent. That's a pretty good
little
question.
You wouldn't really know who Shigeru Miyamoto was unless you were really into the... I think that's... I'm not trying to draw a line between casual and hardcore because I don't care anymore. I'm just to the point where if you play games...
The line is real blurred.
Yeah, I don't care what kind of gamer you are. I mean, I don't care if you just play Rock Band or if you want to get in and play some like strict hardcore Call of Duty online for ranking. I don't care about the difference between the two. But I could see hardcore gamers not actually caring about anything but playing the games. So then that question in itself would...
Then you have to redefine what the hardcore gamer is. Is it a person who plays games constantly? Or is it a person who is in tune with the video game
industry.
Culture?
Yeah.
Industry? You know, it's a...
Because you can have people who really get into the video game culture, but don't actually play that many video games.
Yeah, which I kind of fall into that category sometimes myself.
Yeah, like you and I are two very different hardcore gamers. You read a lot and listen to a lot of podcasts and play minimal games, whereas I don't really get on and read like a lot of stuff, but I just constantly play everything, just crap, just flowing into it, and I don't really care what it is. I just play, you know, and he's the same way. He plays a lot of stuff, but he doesn't read all the stuff.
Like, I get my news today, or when we're doing this, that's
like
how
news
I get
every
my
week,
stuff.
Where you get your news every, you know, half hour when you're online. You know? Yeah. So I don't think that that's really a fair distinction between the two. You know, it's gotten so blurred at this point. I don't even know if there is a question you could ask somebody.
I'm trying to think of a good one.
There is no one game that every hardcore gamer has played. There is just not. I mean, there's games you should play, but you know, I know hardcore gamers that don't like Zelda.
Right.
You know, so how do you even go that route? So it is really weird, like the line between the two. And I don't know if there is a question that I could ask.
No, just class them by yourself.
Well, then you can't use that question.
Here's a choice. No, that doesn't even work either.
The thing is, a lot of your games anymore appear casual, but can be played hardcore.
There's so many games like that. Like Guitar Hero and Rock Band are very guilty.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, I think it's going to be even more so. The line between hardcore and casual, I think as time goes on, it's going to be non-existent.
Well, here's a decent question that you could ask somebody that would at least sort of get you closer to gauging whether they're a casual or hardcore gamer.
What's that?
You'd say, what's your favorite game? It's a decent indicator.
Kind of.
I don't know, but I agree.
It's pretty good.
I agree with you on that. That line's gonna get further from view. I mean, if we're trying to get the video games as more of a standard as entertainment, because I know, it's trying to find its place in the world still, and making more casual games for
I want video games to become to the point like movies. there is no difference between the two. Everybody loves to go watch movies, but not everybody likes to watch every movie.
Right,
right.
That's what I would like to see video games get to the point.
It's getting to that point. It is.
Slowly, I would like it to get to that point fully.
In about 5 to 10 years, perhaps 5 years from now, it's going to be no question. Are you casual or hardcore? It's going to be, are you a video game player or are you a video game historian?
Right.
Yeah.
That's going to be the next question in about 5 to 10 years from now, so the line's going to be blurred. It's already blurred pretty good right now, so it's going to be even more so as time goes on.
Yep.
Just play the games.
Yep.
Yeah. Just have a good time.
Yep.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's what we
don't
do
try and classify.
All right. Next up.
Hey, that rhymed.
Wow. This question just seemed to pop up in my face, but I was called out last week.
You were called out last week.
In the question thread, user Kinjix would like to know if I'm going to be updating my review for Dark Sector because apparently, I mentioned in the review that the 360 version had a rumble when the glaive was fully powered up and that the PS3 didn't. But if you actually go read my review, I never said that. I never made the comparison between the rumble on the two systems. Both systems support rumble, and I knew that. My comment was made on the podcast that when I played the two versions, I don't have a DualShock controller. I don't have a $55 controller, so no, I preferred the 360 version because rumble was standard. It wasn't a $55 add-on. So that's what stuck out to me. The review is the same for both systems. And in fact, the only difference named in the review was that the PS3 version could use a 6-axis to motion control the glaive. So I just don't like to be called out on things that aren't true.
Double-check the facts before you call someone out.
Yes, please. You can say it about my comment because I did make that comment. But it came from my own personal experience. There you go.
And that's that.
All right.
That's the facts.
There you go. Next question. What do you think of the pricing of games in Europe? This comes from Nirwanda. It says, I'm sick of getting stung all the time with the price of games, where I usually have to wait till the price goes down to trade in a game. The Rock Band pricing, which we talked about earlier, it's $258 for the instruments without a game, which is bloody pointless. Or the $337 with the game.
That's ridiculous.
So, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
It's out. But I mean, there's not really much you can do to change it. The problem. So
I think the prices of games in Europe are just sick. It's just sick to me. I mean, it's the same thing in Japan.
Right.
I mean, games or anime is real expensive in Japan.
Yeah, anime. Oh man, you're paying like $30-$40 for a half hour episode.
Yeah.
In Japan.
It's insane, the prices. I mean, if I had to live with those prices, you know what, bud? I'd be in the same boat as you. I'd have to wait till price dropped, or, mm-hmm. I'd have to trade in stuff.
The used market.
The used market would be huge for me, which it's getting bigger for me because I'm losing, so much money in games anymore. I got to wait till they go down in price. Like, same thing with Universe at War. I waited.
Yeah.
Superstar Tennis I only bought because it was $30. Yeah, it's getting common now,
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
But I mean, every every market has something that's cheaper than another market. So it's just, unfortunately, in the European market, it's video games. And it sucks, completely sucks, but it's something that's very, 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 very difficult to change.
Well, how big is it in Europe, though?
It's big.
Is it, yeah. Is it still establishing, or is it?
No, I mean, it's pretty big, especially yeah. in, like, the UK. It's huge. So
yeah, video game market in UK is about as big as here. Right, matter of fact, right. I think overall they're I'm a big fan of Edge magazine. It's one of the best video game magazines out, man. It's European. It's yeah. fantastic.
They're slowly slowly but surely really, really establishing themselves as a very, very powerful market.
Well,
yeah.
All we can do is just say we're sorry and hope yeah. prices drop over there.
Yeah, because it definitely sucks.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. We'll hit this up on Wombat because I know he might have to jump out on us. But the first quick question from Silfo directed at the Womba Trip.
The Womba Trip.
He says, you've mentioned your disdain for GT5 Prologue, or GT5 in total, running up a bill of $100. But he's curious to know what you think would be a fair price for the full game for those that did buy Prologue, i.e., if you own Prologue, how much money would be cut from the price of GT5?
Yeah, I'll keep this very short since we went very in-depth into my opinion on this on the last show and in the forum. To me, it's not so much cutting the price off of GT5 because GT5 is actually the full featured game. My thing would be cutting the price of Prologue. If it was $10, $15, I would definitely have much more of a consideration for purchasing it. I still have difficulty with the concept, but $10 would be easier to swallow than $40. So for me, it's not. It's not so much money being cut off the price of GT5, since it's the actual full-featured game. I'm fine with that at $60. It would be money cut off of Prologue in the beginning. So there you go. I'm done with my Prologue discussion.
There you go. And we got about 2 minutes of Prologue discussion in, so we're good to go.
Yeah.
His next question is an interesting one. It says, is Halo 3 not being played as much as you thought it would?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Says, I'm not a 360 owner, so he can't speak from experience, but what I've seen and read online, nobody talks about Halo anymore, aside from new map packs. Is it that nobody cares, or are there still people playing the game 24/7? There's always going to be people playing yep. the game 24/7.
Yeah.
But Call of Duty 4 yep. kind of overran mm-hmm. Halo 3's online mode, because when COD 4 dropped, the Halo 3 players on my list just vanished.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not I to mean, say there's not a lot of people still playing it.
No, just we play
a lot more of Call of Duty.
Yeah, there's a lot more. You can find a game much quicker in Call yeah. of Duty than you can in Halo 3.
Yeah.
It is dominating Xbox Live right now. Halo 3, don't get me wrong, there were still 300,000 oh, players yeah. when we hopped on one.
Even
night.
That one guy in what, Africa?
Yeah, one guy. There's one guy in Africa playing. But literally, there are still hundreds of thousands of players on Halo yeah. every night. So that's in no way, like, disappointing. I mean, that's still a lot of freaking players.
But the other thing, too, I think a lot of people were guilty of, myself included, I think probably everybody in this room included, is that everybody pretty much expected Halo 3 to come out and be exactly like Halo 2, where it was what everybody was playing yeah. every night.
Yeah.
But Halo 2 didn't have as much competition as Halo 3 has in terms of online games.
No.
So, you know, a lot of games have stolen the focus from Halo 3. It's not just Call of Duty, but it's mostly Call of Duty.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, we're going to end the show with this last one. These are the quick questions. I like these.
Yes.
The quickie questions from Father Time. It says, hey, crew, I have a few short questions for yous all. First up, how did M4G.com came to be? Well, actually, it came to be through Dusty Cartridge, who I'm sure you've seen floating around on the website. Well, he's just Dusty now.
Right.
Dusty. He started a site many, many years ago called Game Discovery, which affiliated with ZT Game Domain, which was us. And over the years, he had an idea for this news aggregation site that him and his brother wanted to do, creating a new CMS system. And being an affiliate of Game Discovery, I got to see a lot of this stuff as it happened. And I knew that when I saw it, it was going to be exciting. That once it came and rolled out, it was just going to be huge. And it started off with Xbox 360 News, PS3 Today, and Nintendo Fanboy. And those three sites joined into one big spot where everything goes, and it just blew up. So that's the long and the short history of N4G.com, which I've been affiliated with Dusty and friends with him for almost 10 years now. So it's been a long and healthy relationship.
Man.
So there you go. All right, next up, whose idea was it to make a podcast? We started this. Actually, you're lucky you have the original four members.
Actually,
of the official podcast in the room with you right now. But I have to hark back to our olden days, Mr. Khan, of you and me creating what was known back then as ZTGD Radio.
Yes.
On live365.com, which we had a radio show that we initially did long before the internet became obsessed with podcasts. And we used to review games. The first review we ever did, do you remember? Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for the Dreamcast.
Nice.
So that's how long ago it was that we started the radio show. But the podcast initially came up. It was starting to become big on the internets. And I said, you know what? ZTGD needs a podcast. So I got these three guys together, and I said, let's just sit down in a room, talk about video games for an hour, and see what happens. And almost 2 years later, here we sit.
Has it been that long?
It's been almost. It'll be 2 years this August. We've been doing this show, and we've officially changed over to N4G Radio after 20 episodes.
Yeah, in May or April, I think, of last year, wasn't it?
So it started off as ZTGD Radio. We did about 15 to 20 episodes there, switched over, which is why when people first saw the first episode come up, they were like, why are we on episode 16 or whatever? And I was like, well, we kind of collaborated and went into one big show. So
right, yeah, and back when we did the first episode, based out of my living room with one microphone and all of us huddled around.
Beating on the table.
Yeah.
If you go back and listen to the original episode, the sound quality, if you think it's bad now.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you think we have some sound quality issues now.
My personal favorite was when we did it in your garage.
Yeah, we did it actually outside.
I missed that episode.
Yeah, you weren't there for that episode.
Which is why you actually did it in his garage.
Yes.
Yep, we couldn't use your condo.
My condo.
Yeah, the garage
like the palatial Womble Estate, or the Wombat Cave, as I refer to
the Wombat Cave.
It felt almost like an on location recording,
which I still don't remember making certain comments. So that's all.
That's
all
right. They were edited out. They were edited for television.
So no one remembers you making.
All right. Will has there ever been a podcast member leaving? Well, there's one that disappeared.
Yeah, I disappear from time to time, but I'm still here.
Yes, you disappeared. You were one of the original four, and you've disappeared, and it kind of turned into a trio, but now maybe you're back.
I am back.
Maybe.
No, there is no maybe. I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
Will there ever be a new podcast member introduced?
We tried to get one.
We tried. We have special guests or two.
Yeah.
Special guests.
We had a couple folks that were pretty consistent special guests.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There may be another official member introduced eventually. We'll see.
Never know.
You never know.
All right.
Who knows what the future holds?
What did you all eat for breakfast? I had a Big Mac and fries.
Nothing. I had White Castle right before the show started. But
yeah, I had Big Mac and fries right before the show started.
I'm fucking starving.
Yeah, I'm starving.
There you go. All right. Would you explain how you all got your nicknames?
Well, mine's pretty special. Self-explanatory. I Wolverine, I love his comic book character. I've always been obsessed with him. And I couldn't take the name Wolverine on the original Xbox Live because it was already taken, even though I was in the beta test. So I just
added
killer for some reason, because we all know I suck at whatever.
I guess it's better than adding stupid.
Well, it fits.
There you go.
Stupid.
What about
fits,
you, Mr. Khan? I know where your name came from, but why don't you tell me?
Okay, way back in like fourth grade elementary school, there were these new shoes that came out that were real popular called Reebok Pumps. I bought a pair of them. They were like $100 shoes. A little bit over 100, but they were expensive. And this one dude was like, hey, we got to have a basketball name for you. Your name will be Gamby. So, yeah, my nickname from like fifth grade all the way till graduating high school was Gamby. And it kind of evolved. There were some people that called me the Great Gambino. some people would call me Gambro. Because my last name is Gambrell. So it just kind of evolved into
the Gambus Khan.
Yeah.
Nice.
But he keeps looking at his watch, so we'll hit Wamba Trip up real quick.
Yeah, I got to run. Actually, it's pretty self-explanatory. the Wombat comes from the fact that my last name is Wombold, so it seemed like a natural evolution into Wombat. And the RP that's on my gamer tag is my initials, so I couldn't do just Wombat, and I couldn't do the Wombat because it was taken, so I had to throw my initials onto the end. So
my name comes from an old Genesis game.
Yep.
How sad is that?
An old Genesis game.
An old Genesis game. Then I grabbed the tag when I started posting online because I thought it looked cool. And what's funny is my name gets made fun of more than anybody else's. I'm in a room with Dirt Ito.
And Speedwack.
Killer Wolverine, Speedwack, Wombat RP, and the Gambus Khan, and people make fun of my name. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. We were playing Halo 3.
2. Might have been 2.
It was 2. Halo
yeah.
2.
It might have been 2, yeah.
And I get made fun of.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, moving in a little faster. Will there ever be another contest like Destroy All Humans, Big Willie? And if so, what are the possible games? We don't know. We might have some surprises for you. We might have some things cooking up behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But as soon as we know,
you'll know.
All right.
For show.
Do you really answer every single question asked during the podcast?
Yes.
Yes. It may take us a little while to catch up sometimes, but yes, we do. We answer every single one. And finally, how did you make the decision to finish every show making the chicken clucking sound?
Well... You see, I like chicken. Chicken tastes good. I like chicken nuggets, chicken stew, chicken salad.
All right, Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
You like chicken gumbo?
Chicken gumbo.
Didn't it just kind of happen?
Well, it's funny. If you go back and listen to the very first episode of our podcast, you make the sound like it's right at the beginning of the show. Mm.
Yeah.
And it just kind of stuck.
It did. It was one of those spontaneous things that is it's a part of the show, and it's been a part of the show ever since.
Since the beginning.
Yep.
And that'll never change, even though we tried a little bit of it earlier today.
Yeah.
We tried to find a new Gambus Khan emotion.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to stay with the Bagok.
Yes, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But that was
yeah.
It'll have to stay. It'll have to. We can't change it.
It's tradition.
It is tradition.
Oh, that was a good nostalgia tour.
That was a good nostalgia tour, and that was a very good finish up. And I like the quick questions; those are fun. And that also will hit our sweet spot as we have just broke the 2-hour mark, which is our sweet spot. So make sure you tune in next week, continue to post the questions on the forums so that we can continue to answer every single one, and make sure you continue to visit n4g.com, badjoystick.com, ztgamedomain.com, and all of our other sites, because we are going to globally own the world someday on the internet.
Yeah, it'd be nice to own the world.
It would, because everybody wants to rule the world. So Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind...
The murder of Perceptive. The government was behind 9/11. Scientology's the new crime. It was created by man. The media's run by Jews. Paul McCartney is dead. What are lies and what? Sean Spear.
See if I can do this.
Can I
continue refrain without having to be edited?
Can you refrain from saying things like that?
I don't see any real spikes to the voice. Let me see what happens if I get angry at somebody like Gambus Khan and decide I just want to yell and be mad. What do you think of that?
Does it make you mad enough to dropkick a baby?
It makes me mad enough to punch a puppy in the chest.
Oh.